The following program is intended for mature audiences.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen.
This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Gentlemen, welcome to the Cue of Cool. My name is Mark Bland, and welcome to the best moderate liberal radio program and current events program west and east of the Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, every single week and worldwide on the interwebs at now.com. We're syndicated 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, respectively. Every single week, you can find us at those places, and I have got an amazing show set up for you people today. Episode with myself, producer Bobby,
yo,
one Mr. Dan Walsh,
hello,
and without any further ado, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Ackles.
Yeah!
What's going on, Andy? How have you been?
I'm all right.
Have you been getting any wind therapy?
No. It's been 10 degrees outside.
No wind therapy for any of us here in the St. Louis.
I have massive PMS right now.
You have, whoa, that's weird.
Parked motorcycle syndrome.
Oh, okay, parked motorcycle. I was kind of confused there for one quick second.
Okay.
We are also going to, check it out. Russia is trying to provoke the world, Dan, mm-hmm. and it's our place to intervene. We are going to discuss that. And the Oscars are rife with controversy this year. Was it white guilt? Doubtful. We will discuss that, but how was your week going?
My week?
Yeah, what's going on? How have you been?
Stressed.
Pretty stressed,
but it's all right. You know, I'm employed, so that, I mean, it's okay to be stressed, I guess. I'd rather be stressed because I'm employed or than stressed because I can't find a job. So,
boy, tell me about it, because that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah,
can't find the job?
Nope.
Wow.
Explain to me how somebody who can be trusted with a company that brings in pounds of heroin each day mm-hmm. to make into a chemical, to make into a medicine and a scheduled four narcotic.
Okay.
I can be trusted with that, but I can't be trusted to deliver home appliances.
You can't be trusted. Is that what they said? They literally
yeah.
came into you and said,
yeah.
we can't
they
trust you
no.
to deliver appliances?
I applied for a driver's position, and they came back and said, you can do anything with this company except for be a driver.
Is it because you don't have a CDL?
Nope, because it was a non-CDL position.
Do you think they're scared that you'll stuff the appliances with heroin?
With heroin? I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Because that could bring a lot of legal backlash.
Could
on
it
them.
Be and your Could it be your Juggalo past?
Probably not, considering I've never been arrested for anything.
Okay, all right. All right, well then, hey, Bobby, how's your week?
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Sorry, man, that sucks. Bob?
It was going pretty well until I got my job.
My goodness, what is going on here?
It's okay. It's though. The Obama. It's the Obama administration.
It's Obammy?
It's Obammy.
How's that? I don't even understand. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I'm not gonna say where I work, but it's called
Shady O'Rack.
Shady O'Rack. Yeah.
Shack of Radios.
Yeah. Shady O'Rack.
It's called you think that you I don't even care anymore.
It doesn't matter. Let's not go down that road, but you're having a rough week.
Yeah,
also.
I mean, well, yes and no. My wife had to take that 3-hour glucose test, you know, for being pregnant. And,
3-hour glucose test?
Yeah,
what
because
are you talking about this is so weird.
When you're pregnant,
right?
Obviously, women, when they're pregnant, they have to take this, drink this orange. It looks like Kool-Aid, and then they go back and they get a glucose test.
I do remember
test.
My wife doing that. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, this is the third child, and my wife was perfectly fine on the first two, but this third child,
he's a boy.
It's a boy.
He's
yes.
a boy. He is a ripping young Chicago Bears fan.
Oh, kill you.
Okay.
But she failed the first glucose test, so she had to go in and take the 3-hour glucose test where you have to drink this stuff once an hour, get your blood drawn. It's terrible because she was, you know, just very upset because you have to fast for like, I think it's like 6 hours prior.
Oh, brother, that's nothing, man.
And everything.
I had to get a colonoscopy. I know that's not something pleasurable for people to find out about, but let me tell you something. They make you literally drink a liquid that makes you just use the restroom on number two over and over until there's nothing but liquid, like water. Like the thing you put in your mouth comes out the other end within 10 minutes.
And then they top it off by putting ridiculous. A camera up your ass.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. But my point is, thank you.
It's just not a great, it's all taking in that one.
It's all taking. There's not a lot of give it all. It's all taking. It's a lot of. Yeah. But my point was is that literally you have to do this for 24 hours before you even go in. Yep. So literally, I was really worried about it because I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, I can't eat anything. You can only eat like popsicles and broth. That's it. You can't do nothing, no solid foods for 24 hours at all. You have to drink this stuff within a 6-hour period, and it's just ridiculous. Like literally, you get to a point where you're not even wearing pants, or if it is, it's just the underwear. That's it. Like, you're not even like, you'll get up and dress that day and you're like, oh, I'm just going to have a normal day. You start doing this stuff and within an hour, you're just like, okay, like pants are staying off. It's just me in the underwear and a t-shirt. Like,
so you kind of look like Tucker Max running across the hallway of the lobby and I hope they serve beer in hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like a normal Monday.
That's what happens to me when I eat at El Tio Pepe.
Okay. Fair enough.
But, there's that. I wanted to, before we get into the nitty and gritty, I wanted to ask you guys about the phrase that I just mentioned. We're pregnant. I have a friend who is absolutely against the phrase, we're pregnant. He's married. He's got two kids. But when I told him, hey, you know, I've got really good news.
I think that's a girl thing.
My wife and I, we're pregnant.
Right.
And he's like, no, you mean she's pregnant.
Right. No, he's right. Like, I understand that. Like, you're trying to do that, I love you so much, baby, I got your back on this type crap. And I'm just like, no, she's pregnant.
But.
You don't.
We're
like,
pregnant.
No, like, listen, I understand the whole, you had a marriage, you know, you put the rings on each other's fingers, so it's now like you're considered a couple.
Correct.
But it's, and I know that you're just speaking in like a third, like, not a third person, but like an outside viewpoint. Correct. Of we as a group.
Right.
Together, you know what I'm saying?
But she it's didn't not get that pregnant way. On her own.
Yeah, but
you got pregnant.
But Bobby, when you have heartburn in those 9 months, it's because you ate something wrong. Hers is a little different.
Yeah, but who's got to deal with all that stuff?
That's
her
true.
Wanting the heartburn at 3 o'clock in the morning, and rolling over and saying, "God damn it, why'd you do this to me again?"
But then why wouldn't you want your own title? Because it'd be like, "I am the victim of the one who is pregnant."
That's true.
Get
her okay. own room.
Like
now.
I would just want it so that people would sympathize more with what the hell I had to put up with because. I have not ever had a woman pregnant, obviously, but I lived with my cousin and his baby mother, and there's just instances where I watched that woman flip off the handle on him and go nuts and like nothing I've ever seen before, and I was like scared a bit, and then it was for no reason, and he just kind of looked at me and shrugged and was like, yeah, this happens.
Yeah, I guess I really don't have much room to talk either. I've never gotten a girl pregnant that
Speaking
I know of.
Speaking of anyway. Dan being basically kosher to other people's problems and emotions and feelings and stuff like that, I actually have a letter from the listener, a question that starts off with this line, and we will talk about this. It'll be in overtime later on, but it starts off with, Dan, I heard your story about the neighbors in your apartment complex being afraid of you. That's all it starts off with. So that's where this advice letter comes from. So we'll just start there, okay?
It's probably my neighbor. No. She's like, maybe if you like didn't scream into your phone, if I wasn't on my medication, I'd have flipped on this guy. We wouldn't think you were nuts.
We wouldn't think it was domestic violence.
Dan, we live here together. As a group.
Me and my,
we.
Just because I yell at a cat, you know? Then now everybody wants to write advice columns.
Well, did you guys check out the Oscars at all?
Yes.
No. I watched some of it. I watched the scene with the selfie.
You saw the scene with the selfie. What about you, Dan? You said yes?
I see. Yeah, I watched the majority of it? I watched the whole thing regrettably. I didn't plan
regrettably?
On it.
Regrettably?
Well, not... Okay, no man, I think, ever plans on saying I'm going to sit down and watch the whole Oscars, but I did start off... And I'm not normally an Ellen DeGeneres fan. Like, I give her credit.
I love Ellen.
I give her credit for what she does and stuff. I've just, like, in comedy, I've worked with too many people that have, like, worked with her. Like
TiVo.
And I've heard a lot of, like, negative things about how her real personality is. So it kind of, like, and that's my fault for allowing that to dictate how I feel.
Right.
But I do think she's very funny. I think that she is nobody has a delivery like she does.
Of course
not. And nobody has like the physical comedy
and
that
the
she
fact
has.
That she happens to be homosexual, I think gives her a little bit more leeway to just play how she wants.
But I also, I think it does. You know what, me personally, and this isn't like a knock on homosexuality, it was just like I thought she was funny when she was just awkward before.
Oh yeah.
And now I think like anybody would, instead she plays back to her homosexuality and like inside jokes and stuff during.
Yeah.
And I don't really, I mean, like, you like can do that, but here's the thing, Ellen, you've been out for a long, long time, and we understand that, so, like, come on, just do your funny stuff like you did right. before. Like, let's not just that become the only thing that you do. I hate that. Like, when a fat comic only talks about how fat he is, like,
right.
talk about the issues and laugh. Like, Ellen, come on, we get it. You love the ladies. If I was married to Portia de Rossi, I mean, if I had a vagina or not, I'd be a pretty happy camper, so.
Fair enough.
I get it, but, you know, she's funny. Anyways, she started off, she had a great opening, she caught me. And honestly, all her little segments were really good.
So a piece of that opening, let's talk a little bit about this right-wing backlash. Steve McQueen's acclaimed film is the new target of right-wingers who hate white guilt and love racial resentment. If Best Picture is supposed to award the film that excels in all categories, then 12 Years a Slave was a worthy choice. From its performance to its cinematography and music direction, Steve McQueen's story of Solomon Northrup and his journey through antebellum South is a tremendous accomplishment by any measure. It deserves its award. Unless that is, you're a little critic named Rush Limbaugh. A little challenge from the Q and Mark Bland over here. Then the success of the film is just further evidence that your resentment and paranoia is worthy. To wit, here's what he had to say about it on his radio show this past week. If it was only thing that the movie won, it's going to win Best Picture. There was no way. It didn't matter if it was good or bad. I haven't seen it. It was going to win. It had magic word in it. It had a magic word in the title, slave. Limbaugh believes 12 Years a Slave won because of the power of liberal guilt. But if there's anything to take away from Hollywood's history with race, it's that the industry is far more likely to award films that highlight liberal virtue. As Adam Sewer notes from MSNBC, the film industry is a place where the stories of people of color are still rarely told through narratives that they themselves create. Indeed, if 12 Years had fit the mold of films like The Help, Crash, and Driving Miss Daisy, that is, if it were about the redemption of sympathetic white protagonists, then Limbaugh would have had a point. Limbaugh, it should be said, isn't alone. His resentment is echoed by a small group of right-wing writers who see white guilt as one reason for the film's success. There was Breitbart's Christian Toto, who before the Oscars wondered if white guilt were a key part of the film's campaign for best picture years fit the usual Hollywood victimization narratives. For her, the film represents the never-ending cries of racism that justify Obama phones, Obamacare, welfare, minority set aside, affirmative action, and every other form of reparations now plaguing America. Race merchantry, she asserts, lives on at the Oscars. Of all of these, my favorite complaint comes from James Bowman of the American Spectator, who attacks Steve McQueen, the director, as an anti-slavery propagandist, as if this were a bad thing, guys. As if this were a bad thing. If ever in slavery's 250-year history in North America there was a kind master or a contented slave, as in the nature of things there must have been here and there, we may be sure that Mr. McQueen does not want us to hear about it. It's when you find yourself denouncing someone for unfairness to slave owners that you should step back and kind of reevaluate your life. Let's be honest. And that's where I stand on this situation. I had a discussion with some people in regards to 12 Years the Slave. And this whole Best Picture situation and white guilt. And I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say on this, because I think it's total BS. Complete, utter, stupid BS for a multitude of reasons. But let's just go down with some of these. It's 2014. This isn't the year after the Civil Rights Movement. This isn't even the 10 years after the Civil Rights Movement. We're 50 years down the road, okay?
Right.
Most of us, in most cases, are not dictating day-to-day life off racism at all. If you are self-imposing that racism. There is nobody forcing anyone, no matter where you live in the United States of America, to enjoy racism and, like, jump for joy whenever you hear about it. Like you might have certain towns and sections of our country that are a little bit behind the times, that are in the past, maybe in the South, you know what I'm saying, that have such deep ingrained, like, memories of racism and plantations and things like that that are still be able to be seen by these people.
Right.
So that reminds them quite often. But here in Missouri, throughout the most of the Midwest, the West Coast especially, and the Northeast, there is no reminders for the most part. There are places that exist, but in most cases, they're national historical monuments at this point. Like, this is not just there's no restaurant that's literally just like, we only serve whites. That's it. We only serve the white people. Like, that doesn't exist. But there's a group of people, which is the people that say this white guilt crap. They're like, well, why can't we just have an all-white restaurant? You can. You sure can. But it's going to make people think that you tend to be racist and think about race. If you're one of the people that's going out of your way, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about white guilt in 2014, you have to, by virtue of that argument, accept the fact that there's racism. Because white guilt is not just a standalone term. White guilt, in most cases, by definition, literally is a throwback to racism. Because of racism, there's white guilt in most cases.
Right.
That's why it's called white guilt. If it was just guilt, then that could apply to anything. White guilt specifically decides on a color because of race. Now, if you are willing to accept that logical assumption that white guilt is based off of racism and you're against white guilt, like you're like, I hate white guilt, there's a chance that somewhere buried deep inside of your heart, you might be a little racist. Sorry, guys. You might be a little racist. It's not a knock on you as people. I'm just saying you might be a little racist. Be honest with yourselves. You don't have anybody who's holding a gun to your head or whipping you or beating down your cars. This is not like fire hoses and dogs being sicked on you. Like, you have none of that going on in 2014.
But couldn't you also say in that aspect, when someone says that they hate white guilt, that they just hate the things that we did to make us feel guilty that way?
And, well, here's another one, too. All right.
Interesting.
I personally hate the actual term. Not like what these people in this group or whatever. I'm not referring to them. But the term white guilt. On this, my family, honestly, we can date my family back. We never owned slaves.
Okay.
Never owned them. I never lived in the South. I never lived by Jim Crow. Do I think that people really play off of that to their advantage? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have I not heard African Americans tell me first forward that, yeah, no, we do to get stuff out of it. And so I hate that. No, I don't feel bad for something I never did. It's sad to hear about. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
That doesn't make me a firing racist. Do I think that when people overuse it for things, or that when something is put there because it's fashion?
Is that wrong? Yeah, yeah, that's definitely wrong.
I think it's silly. I think it belittles whatever is happening. Now, I don't tie myself to people that say just because the movie won, it's white guilt. Like, I'll be honest with you. Here's the deal. If that movie wouldn't have won anything, you damn right, you would have called it backlash. And I do believe that. Royally, you would have believed it.
I don't know, because there's lots of movies that have not won things.
Wasn't Django the same kind of aspect, though?
No, but
yeah, it was totally slavery.
But the only difference is that the slave fought back in Django.
Yeah, but they also freaked out about the help, that the help didn't get more of a note. They also freaked out about, Precious wound up getting notoriety in that. But no, there was always this discussion. And these movies weren't, I mean, they were good, but they weren't amazing.
Right.
You know, like, there's, okay, here's the thing. With a movie about slavery, like, it better be, it's such a topic of someone being abused and injustice and stuff. So, like, it's always going to be a hot spot to win a movie. It's the same thing if you do a movie about the Holocaust. If you put something as horrific as the Holocaust and you don't have some emotional feel to people being massacred, you're kind of a heartless person.
So how did The Passion of the Christ not win anything?
Because it was only subjected to one religion.
Yeah.
And right now, everybody's so damn scared to offend one religion over the other, because especially with, like, the Muslim stuff going on, the fact that the Jewish population is probably 90% of Hollywood right now, and they got up in arms because they said it made the Jews look bad. Well, okay.
Own it.
But
Own what happened. Here's the question. First of all, who coined the phrase white guilt, and what the hell does it actually mean?
I don't know where that came. White guilt, it's the idea of guilt by association of racism and racial backlash from all those years that we had owners owning slavery, and then, like, the idea of, oh, well, I feel bad for black people that they had to go through that.
So we're
going to
give them reparations? Is that what you're talking about?
No, nobody
you feel bad because they had to go through it?
But that's kind of where it's going. That's where they're talking about, but that's not what they're saying in this case. They're not bringing up reparations.
You know,
that's
funny. Me and a couple of my friends actually had a discussion about racism the other day.
I bet you guys did. It's
real simple.
I bet you did.
No,
I guarantee you and your friends had a lot of conversations about racism.
Well, you don't know who I'm talking about, so you don't know what the conversation consisted of. But I will tell you, it's very simple. They said that in order to eliminate racism in this world, that the Caucasian people have to be the first ones to set it down. Here's my problem with that. I'll set racism aside.
All right, good, done.
Until,
finished.
No.
Hold on, I want to hear this. I really want to hear this.
I'll set all racism aside. No prejudices, no nothing, until the day that an African American comes up and is racism towards me as being a white person.
Now,
how is that any different than a white person being racist?
His racism is based off the fact that people in his life were affected specifically and beaten into a point of wanting to be racist.
Yeah, no, but wait a minute. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's not people true. In his life, no.
Maybe not him directly.
But that's what you said. People in his life.
I said people in his life, in his generations, like in his family.
That's a different story. People in his generations are different.
I'm not going to argue. We're not going to argue the reparation idea of you need reparations four generations down the road when your grandma was the one who had to deal with this.
But
and you decided to get it.
Wait a minute. I got an issue on this. Okay, that they in some point. All right, my mother grew up off of Vest Boulevard, which isn't even there anymore.
Right.
They were the only white family that grew up in that neighborhood during the civil rights movement. They were robbed every day. My mom used to have to break soda bottles and fight groups of black men off.
Now
my mom is the most fairest person on earth.
Question, do you think that they robbed your mom because they thought, one, she was a woman? Do you think that they did it because she was white? Where do you, like...
I think it's number three, it shouldn't matter, because they were robbing her. And so all she had for years was negative, and my dad the same way, negative sight of African Americans, and they are she is the fairest person on earth.
Fair enough. So I respect
when
that.
They try to say that, oh, in the 60s white people did this so I can treat white people this way. No, because firsthand my mother should be thinking that every African American is a piece of crap, and she doesn't.
True.
Because she stands above that and sees people for people. So I think the minute you want the respect, you show the respect. The minute that you don't want racism means you cannot use it to your advantage. And I think the world is always going to go on stereotypes because we're human. Stereotypes, if used in another species, is called survival. You don't go and pet a lion because you know he'll eat you. Now, does that make you a speciest? No, it makes you a smart person.
Right.
So whenever you have a situation where you are constantly being mistreated by a certain look of somebody, okay, should you treat them like that automatically? No, but to have that leeriness in the back of your mind, that is human nature, and you will not change that because it's our survival instinct.
Now, based off what you just said and the multiple times I've said it on the show, I've defended stereotypes on this show multiple times. Bobby has actually stood there and watched me defend it multiple times. I will defend a stereotype all day long on my show because stereotypes are based in truth. It's like a great joke. Yeah, there's sick, demented, sick jokes out there that people don't want to hear. And they are demented, and they are horrible jokes, and they're mean. But the truth is that every great joke, no matter whether you like the joke or you hate the joke, any joke is based in truth in some format at some point. At some point in history, there was a guy who had sex with a donkey. That's why they made the joke, and then it moved on through history. Like, literally, they start somewhere. Stereotypes are the same way. And I've made this argument on the show before we hit the break here. I'll basically say, no one woke up one morning. No disrespect to any black people out there that listen to my show. I love all of you. But nobody woke up one morning as a white person and just said, you know, it's Sunday. I got nothing going on today. Let's start a stereotype. Black people like watermelon. Go. That's not how it worked. It just didn't start off with like the clap of a hand and a movie from somebody's house. There was noticeable things week to week and month to month that people noticed, and then that stereotype developed on its own. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more about this, as well as I got to talk about this Russian situation. We might have a call from Koba coming in.
Possibly.
Plus, we have a really unique story that everybody needs to hear that we are going to be playing some audio for. So stay tuned on the queue. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Q with Mark Bland and producer Bobby. Check us out online at theqnow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex Flying Reality, and the heavyweight champ of The Q.
The king of all media in Bulgaria, Georgia,
yes,
Amsterdam, Slovakia.
We're going to talk combined Czechoslovakia.
Yes. We're going to be discussing the Russian situation going on with Putin and all that stuff in the Ukraine here in just a little bit. But before we took the break, the other guest who is here with us today, Andy Eckel, was discussing stereotypes with us, and he was very adamant about some ones that have to do with motorcyclists.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, man. What's going on?
Like, recently in the St. Louis market, there was a journalist for a company that sent out a tweet that I believe word for word said there are a lot of bikers at the state capitol. Guess they're lobbying to make meth legal.
Okay.
Hashtag meth legal or Mo legal or something like that.
Okay. Mo legislature.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what the hell it was.
Okay.
All I know is I read that and that upset me extremely.
Now, why does it upset you?
Because I bet you dollar for dollar, bikers spend more money on charities than any other group of normal, relatively normal people.
That's great.
I'm not talking about awesome. The philanthropists that make millions of dollars and can spend 50 grand on a charity and it not affect them. But I bet you that dollar for dollar and hour for hour, bikers spend more time in the community helping the community, running charities, running Toys for Tots, running and doing whatever they can for the community
sure.
than any other group of normal, everyday working
How
class
does
people.
That change the stereotype from being true?
Which is because I don't think it's a stereotype. It's a stereotype of 1%. Hence the reason why they wear those diamonds that say 1%ers on them.
I don't
That's
even think,
why that
no,
whole
wait, wait,
thing
whoa,
came
whoa,
out
whoa,
about
whoa,
it.
Whoa, whoa. Well, let's not even go down that road first because I don't think 1%ers... which is a completely different dichotomy of the motorcycle community.
Yeah.
I don't think that they necessarily adhere to that either.
No, I don't
but
think that
there
they do
is,
either.
But there, but the connotation I think is that there is a grouping of individuals who quite often get caught for doing meth, and those people tend to have certain stereotypes associated with them. Some of them work certain types of jobs. They tend to ride motorcycles. They tend to that. Now, that's not all meth heads.
Really?
That's
I'm
not all people
who
do heroin or drugs.
Most
or
of the meth labs that got blown up down there in Jefferson County, Missouri, uh-huh. they don't ride motorcycles down there.
You don't think that people?
I mean, I know that some of them do, but
okay, fair enough. It's going to be really tough to like argue the fact that like all motorcyclists are meth heads. Yeah, that's a stupid statement. And for him to make that general assumption like that, I agree with you. I think that that was ridiculous.
That's the problem.
I think
and
that was ridiculous.
It's not so much that it was just me or you, or well, not even you. You couldn't even really do it because you're on a public forum, you know, with this radio station, with your radio show and everything yeah. that you do. You're in a public forum. This guy was a journalist for a major network in St. Louis.
Right.
That goes out to a lot of places, not just in St. Louis, but all over the world, kind of like your radio show does. So what ran through his mind that he thought that he could write this and it being any different than writing a racist text? Something
now,
of
question.
Know, any kind of racist
question
text.
Question for you. If he hadn't been a journalist with a major network and he made the exact same statement,
it wouldn't have reached as many people as it did.
So it bothers you that he was able to reach as many people with the statement?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to care about your opinion. First of all, look, as opinions... you're never going to be able to change a person's opinion.
Does everybody got one?
Yeah, everybody's got one. And they all think, that's the common saying.
Right.
But as far as opinions go, man, you're not going to be able to fight in someone's opinion. All right, so if that's his opinion of bikers, that's phenomenal. That's great. But keep that opinion to yourself when you're in a public forum doing that. Because had he actually taken the time...
Now I have to defend him.
Okay.
Like I have to defend him and his ability as a journalist, as a person who is protected by the First Amendment,
sure.
and the ability
sure.
to, like, his job is to, like, his job is not, like, it's kind of a dual job. The person that we're talking about, for everyone out there, is a gentleman by the name of Charles Jaco. And I'm not afraid to say Mr. Jaco's name because Mr. Jaco works in media. He understands that there's kind of a double connotation when it comes to him specifically. Me, I'm a radio broadcaster. My job is to host a show about opinion-based political discussion, okay? Yeah. So I talk opinion all the time. He has kind of a twofold thing going on. He is a journalist on one side, which means you have to have a set of facts and backgrounds and proven credibility with that when
and
you put that information out.
And to report the news without prejudice or
right.
some other...
When you're doing it in certain formats. Now, in another case, he is a human being who has opinions, and he is an opinionated individual when he hosts his show.
Absolutely.
His show does have the ability to have opinions. Now, we as people in the media, and I will be the first one to defend media people, we obviously do have a certain amount of power that comes with this.
Correct.
When Dan was on The Real World and The Road Rules, he was very successful. A lot of people saw him and talked about him and knew who he was, and there comes a little bit of power with that. And you have to be careful with that power. Am I not correct?
I know. All in all, I agree with you. I think mine was a little bit different because we were known for being idiots. So,
well, like, yeah.
If we made a stupid statement, it was celebrated as opposed to, you know, looked down upon as
but
someone
beyond,
who's an actual.
But beyond the entertainment aspect of it, you understand that beyond the entertainment aspect, you still had a fan base.
People,
and
a
you
lot
had
more
to be.
People are listening to what you're saying than
right.
the average person.
Absolutely. And so you had to take care with what you said and how you said it in most cases.
You
not all cases.
You were going to catch trouble.
Right.
If you said it, you're going to get the backlash of thousands as opposed to maybe like 50 on your, you know, of a
you're not going to get the backlash of an entire news station that you work for.
Now, exactly. Here's the thing, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that when I do this show, because I do moderate liberal politics in a conservative market like St. Louis, my shows run conservative radio stations. I get about 200 emails a week, solidly. Out of those 200 emails a week that just come in generally asking me questions, asking for advice, I'll get at least 2 to 3 pieces of hate mail, including the one I read, because it was amazing.
That was probably the best
greatest
hate
piece of hate mail ever. I've gotten hate before, but that was
the person
amazing.
That hates you is a wordsmith. Yeah, that's just all I gotta say.
That person was a genius with the way he formulated things.
But back to the situation with Andy, I do agree with Andy because of the fact that it is unfair for Jayco to put out that stereotype that bikers would are meth heads because of the fact that I mean, I hate to reference this, but if you look at the TV show Breaking Bad, there is not a reference of a biker in that show.
Nope.
He is a teacher, and these are
but he's not a meth head himself. That's the beauty of Breaking Bad. He's a teacher.
Correct.
And they never really showed any meth heads besides Jesse doing it once or twice and some of the other kids. None of them rode bikes, though. But here's my problem. What is the difference, okay? Would you have an issue with it? First of all, do you have an issue with what he said?
Do I have an issue with what he said? Of course. I already went on record here earlier in this conversation and said that I don't think he should have made that statement. That was kind of a dumb thing to say.
All right, absolutely. So you need to be responsible for
Do I respect his right to say that? Yes, I do respect
Absolutely.
His right to say it.
Now, I will say this. I will be the first person to say I have no problem with his right to say that. Hey, say whatever the hell you want to say. Because one, that's your opinion, and your opinion I don't give a crap about. But you have to be able to realize
you do care about his opinion. That's why you're
Yeah, that's a good point, though.
Well, okay, I care about his opinion because it upsets me that I am a motorcycle enthusiast.
Correct.
And he lumped me in with that group of people. And However, the group of people that were there, if he would have actually just taken the time to go up and talk to them. Now, I can tell you, I know most of the people that were there. They have the tattoos. They have the full sleeve. They have the, you know, shaved heads and stuff like that.
And let's be honest, in the media, in general, across the world, like, the thing that they focus on when it comes to motorcycle riders is not just the guy who works the job 40 hours a week behind the desk and decides to jump on his Harley on the weekends and just go for, like, little rides here and there and to charity events. They only focus on the most entertaining aspects of literally that culture.
Yeah, the Sons of Anarchies and the Devil Riders and stuff like that.
Well, you're talking about...
There are new cowboys, basically. Like the Wild West gunslingers. They're like that to us.
Andy, are you a cowboy?
Well, it's symbolic.
On a steel horse I ride.
Yeah. It's a symbolism. Like, if you go back and study actual... We can even get back into it when we were talking earlier about the slavery thing.
Right.
Okay, everybody has this bad persona of slave driver or slave owners beating their slaves, treating them like crap. You find out along the lines that slave owners treated slaves not, that makes it any better, like machinery. They weren't beating them all the time. They're actually treating some of them really well because they thought of them as machines. If they break their machine, it can't work for them. But it's not romantic enough. It's not
exactly.
It's not sexy enough. So then you
it's
go
not
to
like guy
the,
on the, buffalo.
The cowboys.
You got a guy on a buffalo.
And the same thing with the cowboys. Not every cowboy was a ruthless gunslinger. Some of these guys were just out there to, you know, drive cattle and stuff, and then they got into gun battles. Same thing with motorcyclists, man. Like, yes, there are guys out there. There's even Riders for Christ. There's all these different motorcycle groups that look pretty badass.
Absolutely.
But when you think of bikers, the most entertaining factor, the part that's sexy, is that belief of the guys that'll go burn down establishments across them, those powerful gangs.
Right.
And I think that gets tied up. And now
clubs.
Clubs. And now, like, the meth part's getting brought into it, and I think a lot of it has to do with Sons of Anarchy. And there's a large group of motorcycle clubs, one of which I know personally that's what they do. They cook, they bake, they've been in trouble. But I also agree with the frustration of the fact that there are, and I know a lot of people that are motorcycle enthusiasts that are really great people. They just like the bikes. They like the wind in their hair or the wind in their face, and that's why they do it.
Here's the problem I have. Nobody's really getting so up in arms about this except for the motorcycle riders organizations, the Freedom of Road Riders.
Do you think
they are
overdoing it?
No, I don't at all. Because let me ask you a question. If he would have gone on and said, there's a bunch of African-Americans sitting at the Capitol, guess they're lobbying to make watermelon the state fruit. What do you think would have happened?
There would have been a heavy backlash.
He would have been fired that day.
Of course.
The ACLU, the NAACP, every one of those organizations would have been involved.
You know Sharpton would have showed up.
Oh, Sharpton would have been there.
Sharpton, Jesse. In a minute.
He'd have been like, I'm getting a new suit.
You know, not so much Jesse. I'm not going to. Jesse's kind of cool. Jesse's chilled out. He's getting to the point where he's age-wise. He's like, listen, you know what? Honestly, I only got about 20 years left, and I'm good. Like, I don't care anymore.
Jesse picks his battles. He made his money and got back in the government spot.
I'll say this. The only thing that I know of that group of people, that group, the people that were actually there, the only thing that they requested was a public apology.
Now, here's what's really funny.
They got it. He said, I said something stupid. I apologize. That's all he said.
Let's talk a little bit because you posted this on your Facebook page. I chimed in and I had my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
I didn't attack anyone.
No.
I didn't say anything disrespectful about anyone. I just had my own personal opinion on it. Some of those individuals that are on your page, they're going to remain nameless because they're not here to defend themselves, and I don't think that's fair to them. Those individuals took personal shots at me, literally talking about the AM radio station and the small time this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. Now, I didn't come back at them and just, like, rip into them, but the minute that they said the things that they said, I, of course, took liberties to say things back to them. Now, at the same point, I think that we have a problem in our society with that. And that's one of the things I posted earlier today. And actually, I'm going to get into it a little later during Game On, Game Off, because it's going to be a game off for me. And you'll understand what I'm going to say when I get to that point. But I think that we have this society where because we have the internet, Charles Jaco, and the ability to Twitter or the ability to Facebook. And we've talked about this, Bobby, have we not?
We have.
You know, the ability for you to just say what you want to say and feel protected. Because they're not there to talk to you face-to-face. And if you had to say those things face-to-face to somebody, you wouldn't say them the same way.
Right. Well, it's no different than employers being able to go on people's Facebook pages and look at them and either terminate them for saying something that they said on the detrimental to that company.
I don't have a problem with that.
Or not hiring them because of what they said. I mean, there were, you know, I worked in the fire service for a multitude of years. And when Facebook first came out, there was a lot of young volunteers that were under 21 that had pictures of them holding beers in front of fire trucks. And guess what? They got booted off that fire department.
No problem.
Damn good reason to. Because that showed that fire department in a negative light.
Absolutely.
Sort of, but at the same point, and I'm not going to defend them. I want to play devil's advocate for a moment here. They're 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. Let's just say 21 plus, okay?
No.
But they're they're young people. That's a part of their growing up. That's a part of their society. And when we were 21, we were drinking beers at parties and people took pictures. They just never made it to Facebook.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But these weren't 21-year-olds. These were 19 and 18 and 19-year-olds that were underage.
Andy will back this up, too. Andy, when in the military, all right, and you can say this, in the military, if we were to do something, if we were to go out and get drunk, we were to go out to do anything, we really didn't catch backlash unless we did something that was criminal. But if we were in our uniforms doing something bad, it took an entirely different form.
Absolutely.
So in that case, with them doing it in front of a fire truck, that takes it to a different degree.
Exactly.
You are now bringing in your establishment, and for that, that should do termination.
Obviously, yeah.
But I don't think you should be terminated because you're drinking underage. Rather, you're bringing in that fire department. And that is a direct reflection. And that should that should go with the termination.
But not only that, you know, Andy was saying that some people are not getting jobs and things like that because of Facebook. I don't have a problem with that at all. And in a management position, because you are representing me essentially on your page, because people are going,
I hope to God this radio show continues to be successful or else I'm just completely screwed.
Because of the fact that someone is going to turn around and go, oh, well, you work with him there and you look like an idiot on your Facebook page, you know, sticking bottle rockets up your butt. Yeah. Like, you are misrepresenting not only yourself, but you're also misrepresenting another company.
But where does it start? See, when you do that, it's dangerous grounds, because what if someone that works for you does drag shows and is a cross-dresser? That has nothing to do with your business or their business persona.
It's a slippery slope.
So here's the problem.
If you do that now, because everyone can argue what is immoral.
Wait. I got a good story, guys. And this won't take long. It's a long story, but I can really make this short. I got fired from a job that was extremely important to me a few years ago because I was a professional wrestler. And then some of the individuals that I was working with found out I was a professional wrestler, took pictures and screenshots off the wrestling websites, posted them up on posters around the workplace, and then the bosses came to me basically and said, what's the situation with this? And they tried to argue that what I do in my free time affects them, and that's why they got rid of me. That's a legit story. There's more to that story than just what I told you guys there, obviously. But the main point and the legitimate reason for getting fired was exactly what I just explained. Like, there's nothing I can add to it that would flush it out any more than what I just told you, is my point. Like, it's a much longer story, but it's really odd because people will do that. Yeah. They will literally take things out of context.
When you go and you look on someone's Facebook page and it says that they are employed at X employee station or whatever,
that's the biggest thing.
You know, they're employed at Walmart. We'll just say that.
Okay.
And then you scroll down their page and it's them in drag shows and everything. Now, I think Walmart's entirely too big of a corporation to really give a crap. But at the same time, when you look at smaller corporations or when you look at smaller department stores and stuff like that,
mom and pop companies,
it's going to affect people's opinion on what kind of people are they hiring.
When you're looking at
and that's the problem. Everybody's getting butthurt over so much stuff these days.
My job doesn't care what I do in my personal life. What they care about is don't put their name on my board. I never put where I work, like where I truly work, on my Facebook for that reason. I'm not going out of my way to advertise myself as an employee. Now, here's what I do. I think as long as they keep the company's name off of it. I mean, here, me personally, I don't care if my employees go home and shoot bottle rockets out of their ass as long as they show up on time and they do their jobs. My job is not to be an advocate for not shooting bottle rockets out of my ass. So, therefore, I don't care if they do that.
No, but if they post it on the Facebook page and say, you know, yeah, I work at X.
If they say they work there, then yes, it's the same thing as doing it in front of the fire truck.
Exactly.
You are advertising that you work there. But if it's just a person doing their person things and they don't bring you into it, that should be their own freedom.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move forward here because I got a new story I want to play for you guys. Go ahead, Bobby. Hit that bad boy.
Neighbors who have to see a Ku Klux Klan symbol raised in one West Boca neighborhood are raising their voices in protest. It's not just the KKK flag. It's the members wanted sign and even a noose. The man who lives in this home and identified himself only as Mr. K. Hayes makes no apologies for any of it. Some neighbors are outraged.
It's reminded me of back in the old days, and I didn't think that was still going on anymore. You know, this is 2014.
On his business card, Hayes refers to himself as a recruiter for the Knights Party of the KKK. He planned to raise the flag after sunrise today.
Okay. And is that it?
That's the end of the clip.
Oh, that's the end of the clip. Okay, well, so basically, there's an individual who lives in a trailer park area. I've actually seen the video because you guys can't see the video out there. He lives in a trailer park, and he's got two flags. I think one's the state flag.
One is the state, yeah.
And the other one right below it is the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan's official flag for them. Now, let's talk a little bit about that before we hit the top of the hour here for CBS and Fox News and all that, okay? Do you find a problem with that, Dan Walsh?
First off, the First Amendment goes out the window the minute that you make a gesture that could cause riot or mass hysteria.
Okay.
So with the noose being attached to it, yes, now I do. Because now you're showing a sign of violence and violent actions towards. We all know what the Ku Klux Klan does. I'm not defending what they do, but their right to be an establishment is the same reason.
But this person's not saying or doing anything. They just put the flag up. That's
it. But they said it had a noose. When you put a noose, you are now showing violence.
True.
And even in the First Amendment.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
it's the reason that the Westboro Baptist Church finally got in trouble because they started making violent
threats.
Intentions.
Yeah.
Once they did that, they now violate their First Amendment. So in that case, legally, he's wrong.
Now, what if he had not put the noose up? What if it was just the flag?
And the flag, here's the thing. It's a crappy world and it's crappy people, but no, he has the right to do that.
All right, Bobby, where do you stand on this one?
I don't have a problem because of the fact that, you know, yes, the Ku Klux Klan has this history of violence and stuff like that, but also there's a history of violence with the Freemasons, and it's okay for people to plaster all over their cars and everything else that they're a Freemason.
Their Mason logos, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have a problem at all.
What about you, Andy?
I feel the same way Dan Walsh does. You take the noose off because it shows, you know, granted, there have been plenty of Caucasian people that have been hung from the gallows as well. But generally speaking, when you see a noose around, it's a sign of oppression towards African Americans. It's a form of slavery. It, you know, it's a form of execution towards that was very common back in the slave days.
It's something that Travis Cook loves. We figured that one out.
I don't know who Travis Cook is,
okay.
So I can't say. But anyway, you take the noose off, absolutely, man. It's a free country. It'd be no different than an African American next door putting up the Black Panther flag.
Travis, you don't have to like it for it to still be his right.
Just to just to like flush it out for you, Travis Cook is a ball-headed conservative, and that's where I'll just leave that. Okay, right. He's a ball-headed guy who tends to vote conservative. Okay, with that being said, I honestly think that this situation is horrible. I do not defend this individual's right to do this. I am told, like, when Michael Savage a few years ago made some statements on his radio show, and he was put on a blacklist when it comes to the country of England. He was not allowed to enter the country of England, even though he was scheduled and booked for some, like, touring stuff.
Right.
He got on his show, and he ripped them a new one. And he basically said the blah, 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 this, and the blah, 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 that. And, you know, Dan, you kind of hit on it a little bit. His argument was, is that I just have my own opinions, and I should be allowed to say whatever I want. In the United States of America, you are defended by that right. Other countries do not prescribe to the Constitution of the United States or the Bill of Rights. So you cannot sit there and say those things and get away with it in their books. Also, a guy like Michael Savage, as well as these people in this trailer park who are posting a flag that is extremely vitriolic in most people's eyes.
Wow, good word.
You guys are literally potentially going to cause exactly what England told Michael Savage the reason why he was on the list. You say things that could incite a riot or create disparage within our country. That's literally what is happening with this flag situation. You are creating a potential riotous situation and creating disparaging remarks and comments about our society. Literally. Or it could create disparage within our society. Either way, you are not a good person. I'm sorry. I don't mind if you're a Ku Klux Klan member. I don't care if you're a one percenter. I don't care if you're a motorcycle rider who likes to do meth. I don't care if you like to eat chili dogs for 2.5 days straight on the same chili dog. I don't care if you like to do comedy and then wrestle on the weekends. I don't care who you are. Do what you do and do it great. Fine. So be it. But don't infringe on other people's rights to also live in this country. That is one of the biggest problems that I have.
Okay, so...
But wait a minute. Then why didn't people get in trouble when they had Death Row stickers on their as a record label?
Hold on.
That's the same.
Hold on to that thought right there, Dan. We're going to take a quick break here on the Q. 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI. When we get back, Dan Walsh, we will discuss that exact situation that you just brought up. We'll be back on the Q right after this.
Now back to the Q with Mark Bland and producer Bobby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, Mark Bland, joined by the Walking Reality, the owner of Danimal Incorporated, Dan Walsh.
The owner of Danimal Incorporated. Yep.
That's what it says on his Facebook page. What do you want me to do about it? I can't do nothing.
That I'm the CEO.
I never noticed that on your page.
Yeah, go look it up, man.
There Danimal it is. Incorporated. Danimal Incorporated.
Can I be like an assistant manager?
Can it be assistant manager of Danimal Incorporated?
Yeah. 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 Sweet. In the anger distribution.
You could be in charge of distributing the hoagies. You're the hoagie distributor.
You're in charge of dredging up from 4 years ago and then making me mad about it.
Whoa, man.
Sorry.
Good Lord. Jeez. FCC over in this B.I.B.
Somebody's going to get their pee pee smashed.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen.
Bobby, you did it again.
Whatever. I should be angry. He pointed at me and said I eat damn chili cheese dogs over a three-day period.
Two-day period.
2 days.
This is bull crap.
All right. I apologize.
Producer Bobby here, of course, as well as our guest today, former radio show host with me on Absolute Wrestling Radio and the MMA show, Andy Eckel.
Yep.
So we were talking, Dan,
scoliosis.
You had brought up before we hit the break at the top of the hour, you had said something about Death Row.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to get on the argument of people being angry with the Ku Klux Klan flag and what it represented in the past and everything, the whole industry of gangster rap is just openly talking about violence and that they're going to shoot somebody. And Death Row, I mean, we all know what Death Row really is and what it talks about. If you're going to put up that argument that of a past of violence and that it may allude to or it may start a riot, then you got to get rid of those too. And that's my point. Just because something did have something, just because maybe there's an innuendo of it, you can't. There is a fine line. You can't shut that down. Whenever the noose went up,
yeah,
that you can't. That is the direct line to violence. Here's, and execution, and that's when it violated the First Amendment.
That's when I had a problem with it. But Mark obviously had a problem with just the Ku Klux Klan flag, period. So Mark, let me ask you a question. Would you have a problem if it was a Black Power flag or a Black Panther flag.
I have a problem with anything that could potentially incite riot and disparage on our country. Like, I literally can. I it's not one right, thing I, or the other.
I get what you're saying, but what I'm asking you is, would you be against the Black Panther flag?
Yeah, I just said that anything. Like,
okay, well, yes. You just said anything, and you know, you didn't answer that direct question.
Y-E-S. Yes.
Okay.
But you also got to understand that Ku Klux Klan, as sick as it sounds, and I'm not trying to defend them, it's just one of these things where I'm looking at it, how they would represent themselves in court. Okay, as of yes, what they did in the past was awful, but like lately, are they riding around on horses and lynching people?
Hey, they're doing good things. They adopted a highway.
True.
And they keep
a lot
clean.
Of highway cleans.
Yeah, and I'm not defending who they are. And like I said, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's morally right. But it's one of those where it's if you take that away or you step in on them, it'll just keep going, and no one will be able to represent anything.
You know what? Right. I am going to draw the line at Dan Walsh.
What's that? What are you gonna stand up and draw the line on?
26.2 stickers on the back of cars. That's bullcrap. How dare you try to show me that you know how to run really far for long periods of time?
You know how long it took me
to figure out what to hate you.
I didn't know why they put 13.1 at first.
It wasn't until Trey.
My favorite was the one that one guy did, 0.1. Yeah. Like, that's all it says is 0.1. He's like, Trey, that's as far as I got.
Trey said that one day. He goes, I'm going to get a sticker that says 0.0. Because his wife put one up because she did 13.1. He's like, I'm putting 0.0. I'm just sick of this.
Well, it's kind of like those little stick figure family things. I want to get the one where the guy's chasing them down with a chainsaw.
There you go. That's American value.
CrossFit guy might walk in here, just look at Dan and be like, you don't really exercise. You know that?
Yeah.
You don't, Ellie. You just take pills. That's what you do.
I do, but I exercise too. He's right, kind of.
You don't exercise the way I exercise.
No, you're right. I don't exercise at a point of physical exhaustion and then a build up to where you're paralyzed. I don't do that.
Don't do that.
I don't stand on a box and do 9,000 squats because I have to go to my job.
All right. Well, let's move on with the talk today because I brought up Russia. Where are we at on Russia, everybody? Like, first off, do you guys understand what the situation with Russia and the Ukraine is right now?
Yeah,
Andy?
Yeah, they're trying to move into the Ukraine and occupy it for some reason. I'm not 100% sure on it.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with Putin right now. That's just not right.
All right. Dan Walsh, where are you at on this Ukraine-Russia thing? Do you have a grasp of it? Because we're going to talk a little bit about it.
If they're stepping in to try and deter the Ukraine from using nuclear power, I think that's okay because everybody knows what happened at Chernobyl. Maybe these guys don't have a handle on it as much as they do. However, no, you should never. The Russians are just, they are PO-ing everyone off around them. Like, I want to see 15 years from now where Russia's at because they're getting surrounded by people that are just angry at them. It's almost like they're purposely just pushing buttons now.
No, Bobby, you got something for us.
Yeah, this is Jimmy Fallon the other night. Jimmy had some words about Russia.
Okay. Russia is making a lot of people nervous right now. In fact, some are even saying that the country may be starting a second Cold War after it sent ships to Cuba yesterday. Then Vladimir Putin was like, what is big deal? I'm just doing Throwback Thursday. I mean... #DBT. I mean... Can you believe my hair looked like that? Is that crazy? Everybody was wearing those pants. But here's some good news out of Russia. This week, the Russian government gave all 44 of its Olympic medalists a new Mercedes. When asked what happened to the athletes who didn't medal, Putin said, "Do not open trunk."
Well, there it is, Jimmy Fallon discussing the Russian-Ukraine situation. Let me break this down for everybody out there because I've had to do a lot of research. And actually, what's really funny is during my research, because we do a political-based type show here, I like to find stories where I think that they are going to misrepresent or they're going to put stuff. Now, I know there's certain websites that I know are going to try to spin things a certain way. Other things are sent to me, and I read them, and I go, okay, are these guys even close to the mark or not? Mashable actually did an article in regards to the Ukraine situation that was spot on. It was perfect. It was great. And if I could find it, if not, go to mashable.com and search Russia, Ukraine, and whatever stories come about and read the one that's like the 9 instances or, you know, like basically breaking down, you know, 9 details that you need to know about how we got to where we're at with this Russia thing, because this is basically how it's working. Many, many years ago, and we had a gentleman by the name of Koba, who's been on our show before, And unfortunately, we don't have him on right now. Maybe we can get him on here soon. But regardless of that, he was from the country of Georgia. And Georgia was one of the sections of the Soviet Republic that broke away, along with Ukraine and all the different countries that broke away back in the early 1990s, like 1991, I think, something like that. Now, basically, what's going on with Russia and Putin and the Ukraine is this. The economics of Ukraine are kind of in the same place a lot of places in Europe are right now, in the trash. They had offers on the table from both Russia and the European Union. Now, the country is kind of split. Because they are a former piece of the Soviet Republic, a lot of people there speak Russian. There's many people there that speak Ukrainian also. Now, the individuals who speak Russian because that's just what they're used to. That's the language that they grew up on. They Correct. Just kind of never got away from it. But yet, the fact that they still speak it, even though there's the other dialect that represents the country,
right.
they haven't kind of jumped on board with it. So people think that these are just Russian loyalists, okay? The country in itself, the majority of people, they want to go with the European Union idea. Well, I think the owners and the runners and the presidents and all those, you know, just basically when you're dealing with Russian countries or when you're dealing with, let me correctly pronounce this, European countries, there's not just the government. You got a lot of nefarious individuals and other, you know, business practices right. and things like this that have a lot of influence underneath all of that.
Correct.
So it's very split. Some want to go back to Russia. Some want to deal with the European Union. Now, what had happened was that there was a deposing of a certain individual they considered a dictator. This person was put into jail. The new person came in. The new person made a decision. That decision was kind of against what Putin and them wanted. And so, therefore, it kind of caught the ire of Russia and Vladimir Putin.
Correct.
Now, Vladimir Putin has decided that because Crimea, which is a peninsula, basically, or it's...
Correct. It's a region.
It's a region underneath the Ukraine that is only accessible by the Ukraine. They have a strong section of Russian Navy ships that are stationed there. Correct. And they have control over this Russian Navy there. They don't want the situation to go one way with the Ukraine, which is already kind of where it's at because of the breaking up of the Soviet Republic, and them not having access because of all this vitriolic infighting that's going on.
Just so you know, it was called the People's Republic of the Soviet Union.
Yes, I call it the Soviet Republic. I mean, that's basically the exact yes. same thing. But at the same point, so now you have Putin, who has decided that if they're going to go this route over here, I kind of want to make sure that I protect what I control down here in my Navy.
Correct.
And so, therefore, I'm going to do whatever is necessary, being a major superpower, to protect my Navy in Crimea. Now, this is where the issue becomes a problem. To get to Crimea and to use your army effectively, you don't go around everything to come up from the bottom. You go right through where you need to.
Correct.
And being a part of the former Soviet Republic, they feel that you guys used to be with us. We have a relationship. Even though it's not the greatest relationship, we're going to come through your land to get down to where we need to. That looks to everyone like he is invading the Ukraine. He's not technically invading the Ukraine. He's actually trying to be as diplomatic as possible. Now, there are a lot of conservatives out there that are railing against Obama and a lot of things that are happening with this Ukraine situation because they think that this is a move for him to make a play to create a new Cold War as right. well as something that could lead to eventually the reforming of the Soviet Republic
Correct.
And then turning around and using their superpower status with all this new power to maybe create a third world war.
Now, here's where I have a problem. I'm tired of all these people. You know, I will be the first person to say I am proud 100% to be American.
Fair enough.
Absolutely. You know, I have a friend who served in the military who doesn't agree with me because he doesn't like some of the things that have happened. But I don't care in that aspect. I am proud of everything that we have done as a country. We've evolved and we have become a great country, I feel. Now, here's where I have the problem. People in America are too worried about everybody else. We need to stop trying to be the world police and let things happen.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner, Johnny.
Because when we What other country do you know that has a base in South Korea, Thailand, Australia, Germany, Paris,
Wake
parts
Island.
Of Africa,
Wake Island?
What other country has this except for us? Yes, okay, we created an open door policy where we're going to assist and aid the allies of our country. But that doesn't mean that when something happens between two countries where things just has to happen, you have to allow a revolution. Hell, it happened in this country. You have to allow things to evolve. History evolves. You have to let this happen. And all these people that are crying saying, well, Russia's going to invade the Ukraine. It happens.
Not our problem.
And it's not that it's not our problem. It's okay for us to interject and have a say in certain things and try to play peacekeeper for the best that we can.
But that's fine. You play peacekeeper. You have an
opinion.
But
what you have is a lot of conservatives out there that are railing on Obama, basically saying, you didn't interject yourself strong enough. You're not sending boots and troops over there the way that you need to start a fist fight. And you need to take down Putin because he's going to turn around and create World War III, and it's going to come right to our doorstep. And I'm like, guys, there is an entire pond that is huge that separates all their problems from all of our problems.
Hell, there's two ponds.
Wait. All right. Like, I'm not jumping on board and going to war, but that same mentality is the exact mentality that they had in both World War I and World War II when we tried to stay out of it, and then it did come to us.
And then when they brought us into it, and what did we do?
And when they brought it to us, what did we do? Their ass.
I know, but this is also my other thing. Whenever I can see a direct link to our country, like to us being harmed,
okay,
then I'm saying I will go to another place to fight and keep it from, because we've learned from the past. But I also agree with the fact that right now, what Russia does with the
Ukraine.
We're
not there yet, yeah.
Yeah, we're not even close to there yet. If they invade, then you have some grounds to stop something from being formed because of just, it is a revamp of the past.
Now, there is a worry.
We're not there, and we need to just, like, kind of let them work their stuff out, and we need to, and I don't, you know what, man? I don't even think we should send a dude over there. I think let them work it out.
Well, in regards to what you just said, though, why then were we not over there when Russia invaded Georgia, invaded the territory in Georgia, and that's where, technically, that's what Sochi is. The city of Sochi is Georgian, but Russia invaded it. We didn't go over there and do anything like that. We also have to understand
the reason why that there might be some slight rumblings. Now, you know, I'm a moderate liberal.
Correct.
But at the same point, I will defend conservatives on one thing. There is potential for slight rumblings because of the nature of Vladimir Putin and where he comes from. If you don't understand Vladimir Putin, he was a former KGB operative. He came up in a time of communism. He loved Mother Russia. Say it. You know how to do it. Do it.
Mother Russia.
Yes. He loved Mother Russia. He loved Mother Russia.
I loved her bosoms in my face.
Yes. It's very, very true, Dan. Thank you. Thank you, Vlad.
Her voluptuous big Russian bust in my face.
Here's the thing. I think Putin's all upset and pissy that his last name's Putin.
No. Here's my thing. Wait, hold on. Let me finish my point. My point is very simple. This man comes from a time period, and now he's in control as the leader of this country. Okay?
One of his biggest admirers, he admired Stalin.
Right. And so he wants to reformulate the old USSR the way that it was. And there is rumblings of that. And if he goes down that road, you're going to have a lot of people. See, one of the things people don't realize, and Koba brought it up when he talked about Georgia breaking off back in the early 1990s. What had happened was a lot of people that still live in those countries loved communism. And the reason they loved communism is because they knew where their next paycheck was coming. They didn't have to worry for nothing. If they had any issues or questions, they always had food. They always had everything.
Right.
These countries wanted freedom, but they also wanted to maintain their status quo. When they got democracy the way that they have it now, they realized that their port cities and their cities that they were going to claim to be their economic boom strongholds weren't as strong as they thought.
Right.
They were literally getting backed by the Soviet Union pretty heavily. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of all went into serious depression for the majority of the 1990s.
Absolutely.
Like, the minute they broke away, they lost all funding, all everything, and they almost crashed. Their economies, every single one of these countries, almost all of them, crashed heavily, and it was really bad. And so you got a guy like Putin who has a lot of loyalists that still live in these countries that love the idea that they didn't have to worry for anything with communism. And so when he starts these rumblings of wanting to put the old pieces back together, you're going to have a very split, and I mean very split, very even splitting of mentalities when it comes to this. And it's going to lead to eventual problems. If he is able to put the USSR back together, though, we should worry a little bit.
I don't think so. Here's my thing with Putin. And I think Putin has the complete ability to start a World War III.
Of course he does.
Not so much on this particular incident. I don't think this is really anything. But the fact that he has managed to take some of the most desperate, like I wouldn't say desperate, like the Chechens, right, comes to mind.
Right.
I'm not defending these guys, but these are guys that if you push them in a corner and you upset them enough, not only are they going to lash back out at you, but they're going to be like a wild dog. They're going to go after everyone.
Right.
So if he keeps making Georgia mad, he keeps making the Chechens mad, he keeps making everybody mad, they're going to uprise and they're going to get angry. And when they do, it's not going to stop there. They're going to start to attack all the allies. They're going to do everything. That's when I think it'll start to come back to us. But I'm with you on the fact that right now this is a nothing scenario that people are really trying to push. And I think that we should stay out of it completely. I don't even, as at this point, I wouldn't even get involved. If he does something like this again, I'd sit down with him and be like, listen, brother, I understand what you're wanting to do. This is a very sad economy, a very sad country, much like Nazi Germany was before the rise of Hitler. I'm not going to put a direct quote to that, but I mean, these scenarios, they build to a horrible, like not a horrible, but a bad situation.
Of course.
If he continues, then we take action. Right now, stay out of it. We've kind of got the rumblings, though,
between Georgia, the attempt on Georgia, and now the Ukraine. You're starting to get little rumblings.
You got to let them.
If they do it over on their soil, let them do it.
Yeah,
let them do it.
Let them defend themselves. Because here's the thing.
If we, and I posted this on my Facebook page, if we were in the middle of an argument with Canada and Vladimir Putin decided he wanted to come over and interject and get involved in our crap, I promise you the Prime Minister of Canada as well as the President of the United States would both tell him to go sit down and shut the hell up.
Yeah.
They literally would tell him to.
That's what I'm saying. Stay out of it, man. It's not happening on our soil. Hash it out. Do what you guys need to do.
But you have this jingoist aspect of people in the United States of America that are conservative. Okay, and they have this nationality, this federalist mentality.
And see, that's the thing.
And they want to fight. They really want to fight. Dan, can I ask you a serious question?
Mm-hmm.
No.
If you could have been in the military without going to Iraq, would you have done it?
Well, yeah.
Did you like being in Iraq? I mean, you learned things, but did you like being there? Did you like doing what you did?
I'm going to be honest with you. From what I learned from it, I couldn't imagine my life if I didn't go.
Really?
To be 100%. Yeah, it brought life to a whole new aspect. Everything that people bicker about here is silly.
It's trivial.
It's all smoke and mirrors, and it's all game.
First world problems.
When you're there and there's actual things blowing up and you're watching buildings blow up and you're watching stuff run, it's a completely different aspect. It puts your life in order. It makes you grow up real fast, and it makes you know what? I'll tell you what. You'll never hug someone tighter again.
Yeah, and that's my point. I've had this discussion on the show before, ladies and gentlemen. I'll reiterate this point one last time. When you guys go in on there, your social media, and you start going, Barack Obama's a socialist. Oh, he's trying to tear our country apart. I have friends from Russia. I have friends from Europe who lived in actual socialist-based countries. And they look at you guys when you get on your books and you say things like that about Barack Obama and our country, and they go, you're an idiot. You have no idea what socialism is. You don't know what it's like to literally walk out of the doors of a 7-Eleven and there's two armed military police people there who will literally point a gun at you and tell you to walk to the other side of the street just because they can.
And that's my other point. One thing that I learned from Iraq and made me really love being back in America, and even to a point where I joke around and I was like, I love the ignorance of Americans. Just the blatant yelling of not knowing what they're talking about but thinking they do because they got on a website. But the fact that when I'm looking in the city, I'm like, these people who lived here their whole lives can't even go across the street without the fear of somebody who has put something somewhere that could kill them, even though they had nothing involved. They have no freedoms in their own backyard.
How many people?
And it's being given to them, and that's being taken away by their own people.
How many people were in Iraq when you were walking around, just general people not involved in the war directly, okay? How many people said things to the effect of, I'm afraid to go somewhere because I could literally die in a suicide bomb?
When we had like one-on-one discussions with, and it also depends on where you're at too, but a lot of the discussions were is that they knew, like the guys who were Chaldean, which were the Christians that sat in the middle of Iraq, the guy even said it. He goes, if we were to leave here, if we did not stay on your base, We wanted to stand up for what was going on. But we know that if we stand up and go back to our homes, we'll be killed. We have to sit here with you and ride this out because it's the only way for change. Because, yeah, they can't. They have to go along with it or they die. So, I mean, that's look at that lifestyle and look where you live and then try and ask yourself, is it really that bad?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, it's going to be time for Game On, Game Off, an exciting round of hipping you guys to cool new things, as well as telling you some things you just need to stop doing, like stop worrying about Vladimir Putin in Russia, okay? Stop worrying about it. We're going to discuss that when we come back on the queue. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to the queue with Mark Bland and producer Bobby.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Mark Bland, joined today by Andy Eckel, former co-host of mine with Absolute Wrestling Radio, Dan Walsh, my main man over there, as well as producer Bobby. And we've had an entertaining show today, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's been a lot of stereotype talk, racial talk, just war.
War.
We just talked about everything.
You know what? Wait. I do want to get back to this real quick. Have any of you guys seen 12 Years a Slave?
I have not seen 12 Years a Slave.
Is it even out yet? Because I know sometimes the movie doesn't even come out until after.
It is out. It is available on iTunes as well as on your local cable provider.
Okay. I guess I'm going to check it out.
They have to. It's made it to cable now?
Well, video on demand, probably.
Yeah, probably like DirecTV Cinema, video.
Where you pay for it still.
Yeah, pay-per-view still. All right. I don't know. I just figure these are the same people that pick No Country for Old Men as the best picture, and that was a horrible movie.
Oh.
We had the discussion about the whole thing with Brokeback Mountain. Sometimes when these things are picked to be the best movies, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I will say this about the 12 Years a Slave acceptance speech. When you end your speech with, this is for people who today are still in slavery over however many people, this is for them. And then you turn around and start jumping up and down. It kind of kills the sincerity of the message that you're trying to give.
I could see that. I could see that.
Like, he turned around. He was like, this is for the slave. And like everyone's like, and I'm like, yeah, it would have been. And he turns around and jumps like a child. And I'm like, I don't think he's that worried about those people right now. I think he's pretty excited that he won. And good for him. He should celebrate. But you kind of killed your message, brother. Just kind of a little bit smudging.
Too sure. All right. Are we ready for Game On, Game Off?
Yes.
I think it is time for us to do another edition of Game On, Game Off here on the queue, as we do every single week. Basically, simple situation. Game On is hipping you to new cool things that you might not know about. We're going to let you know about them before they become popular. And Game Off is the opposite of that. Things that are already popular, things that people do quite often, we think you need to stop doing, stop talking about, stop being involved with, whatever it is. Just get away from it. That's what the point is.
Yep.
Let's see. Who would like to go first this week?
I'll start.
You're gonna go first.
Yep.
Bobby, tell us what you got.
All right. Game On is a new product that I've found. I am very big into music. I love the external Bluetooth speakers, things like that. I found this new product called the JBL Pulse.
The JBL Pulse.
JBL Pulse retails for $199.
Okay. It's a little pricey.
It is a little pricey, but for what you get and what it does is really cool. It has both Bluetooth technology as well as NFC, which is called near field communication. So people with the Galaxy devices, you can just touch your phone to the Pulse. It will automatically connect. Also, on the front of the Pulse, it actually has a full LED display. So as you're playing music, you'll actually see an equalizer bouncing up and down, telling you, you know, how loud your music is, things like that. That will also give you your value or your volume and your battery life. It has the auxiliary in and auxiliary out, so you can actually connect this to a surround sound system that is not Bluetooth, and now you have a whole home Bluetooth. But it is a really cool device, very loud. It's just really, really cool, and it's no bigger than, I would say, like a 12-ounce bottle of soda.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool, man. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's a really cool product. You can pick them up everywhere. They've got them all over the place.
All right, fair enough. What about your game off for this week?
Game off. Damn, where do I start? I've got three, so I'll be very quick with two of them, and then I've got a little clip for my third one. But number one, game off sagging.
I am tired of sagging. I am tired
of pants sagging.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I am tired of seeing these punk kids walking around town with their pants sagging. And the worst part is when you ask them, because where I work, I have an employee that I every day have to tell him to pull up his pants because he's sagging. When I go to him and say, hey, do you know what sagging originally was for? His exact answer is, yeah, but that doesn't have any meaning now, so I can sag. Okay.
Okay, why don't you explain to everybody what the original meaning of sagging was?
The original meaning of sagging was used in prison to allow people to know that you were open for relations.
Business.
For relations.
Or that you were branded the person in the group that was the relations go-to guy.
You were the Brokeback Mountain in jail.
Yeah. You liked it or not.
Well, there's that too.
Because it also let everybody know that you were taken too.
Which, by the way, everybody out there, I want to let you know, one of my favorite things ever is those TV shows where they go in Scared Straight.
Oh,
where they go into the prisons and they they like rub Kool-Aid on their faces.
Yeah.
Make them hold their pockets. I love that stuff.
Great
show. I'm just not going to lie to you. I get it. It's a 47-year-old guy who's been in prison for like 10 years and he's like doing it to like a 16-year-old kid, but it still cracks me up every single time I see it.
There is, I'm sorry. And we are in a society, especially heterosexual males, that death does not scare us as much as the possibility of anal rape.
Oh, that's true.
Like, that is frightening to us. And the fact that, like, prison, what's the first thing when you say someone goes to prison? Nobody's worried.
I don't want to get raped.
No one's worried about incarceration or, like, being told to do every moment of the day. It's just, dude, I hope they don't get me in the shower. Like, that should just...
Did you ever notice this?
That should be the crime. You're sentenced to 3 years of
buggery.
There's
always the one... If a friend of yours ever goes to jail, there's always the other friend. There's always the one friend in a crew that's like, hey, listen, when you get in there, you need to take somebody out immediately, man. Let them know who you are.
Okay, and let me say on this for anybody who's going, I can't believe I'm going to help you. Don't do that, because I have a friend who works in a prison, has for years, and he deals with lifers. The thing about lifers, guys, is they are where they are for the rest of their life, and they will do whatever they got to do to you to make a point. One of the stories that the guy gave me was that a kid came in with his chest out, and he sat down, went to the TV room, and just walked up and turned the channel because he went to watch something else. Little did he know, the guy in the back was a lifer. The guy got up, walked away. They had to watch that kid for an entire week because the guy was just going to kill him for that. Not to mention that's not...
He's in for life.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going anywhere.
Guys, here's the thing. When they're doing that to you anally, it's not a sexual thing. It's a show of dominance. And most of the time, when you walk in there and you do something like running up and punching to somebody, they think you need to be humbled up. And that's when you're going to get it. So it's probably better to defend yourself if they try to push you around.
And they can get you anywhere.
Don't be the instigator, because you don't know who you are instigating against, and if he runs that or not.
I would love to have a prison guard on this show sometime to just talk about the inside background of, like, what prison life
is like. He even told me, he goes, I don't get too close to this guy, because this guy will kill me. And he's thought about it.
Of course.
And he's not, the only thing that stops him is that he doesn't want to exert the energy that day. Because where's he going to go? He's probably literally going to stay in the same exact place.
Right.
Yep. The only thing he can do is get put in solitary for so long.
And he might hate
And he's probably already been there a few times.
And he probably
doesn't care.
And a lot of guys say that, like, if they have an annoying cellmate or, like, an annoying, like, they'll do that on purpose just to get away from all of them. So they'll just do things like attack a CO or something just to get away from that. So your job is that dude who just might get attacked. Not only is no one scared of you, you're the way out. So now they have every reason to attack you.
Exactly.
Yep. Like, I don't know, man. That's a crazy place to go. I'm lucky or I'm glad I just abide by the law.
All right, so get off sagging.
Real quick, the other ones are game off potty training.
Oh, what?
I am sick and tired of having to potty train. Because
that's not off. That's just you're stressed. Because
hey producer Bobby.
Let's not game off potty training.
You're going to be potty training again here in a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, I've been fault. Potty trained, and I've never been happier in my life. I mean, I spend a fortune on pants.
I'm not going to lie, man. It'd probably be pretty cool.
It's warmer, especially now. At least for the first 10 minutes.
All right, who would like to go next on Game On? Andy?
Dan.
Dan, go ahead.
Just something I've been observing.
Game On. Is it Game On or Game Off?
Yeah, Game On. Women in skirts.
Oh.
Tight pencil skirts.
Tight pencil, like the tube skirt type
thing?
Yeah, like
just God love you. Anything
just
that
roll
shows,
it up a little
well,
bit.
Well, just something that...
Roll it up real fast and take care of business.
Something that shows me your legs and that forms your hips and lets me be... dirty in my mind for a little while. Just, I know that's why you wear them. Oh, I'm sure it's just to be professional. But guess
what? Of course.
You're doing a great job.
Thank
even
you.
If you don't have the greatest, even if you don't have the greatest body, it still is great to see. So just thank you. Game on, girls who wear skirts. God bless you. You make my day sometimes just go so much better.
All right, fair enough. I think that's a pretty solid game on. That might be one of the best ones we've ever had. Sure. What about your game off?
My game off is people that park sideways in a parking spot because they feel that their car is so great.
Yes.
And oh. so much better. Like, this is the thing I'm going to tell you is
I'm in with you on this one.
I am a very nice guy, but when I lose it, I lose it. And I'm the first one to say that I will act completely erratically. Like, when I was pulling my apartment complex, like there's a lot of cars now all of a sudden, even though there's not that many vacant or many that the occupied apartments. But I have a place I park right by my door. And if it's not available, then I have to drive all the way around my building. It's a long walk. It's cold. I'm not happy. So there's a person that parks sideways and they block not only me from getting in that spot, but to the spot next to them. And there the other night, I picked up a huge rock. And I really had to talk myself down from just smashing the side of his panel. And honestly, at that point, I would have paid for it. And I would have been ready for any kind of physical altercation that would have brought from it. At this point, I'm so angry, I would have been okay with him shooting me for it. Just, A, he'd have to go to jail, and he'd still have to repair his truck. Because in the end, I win. Because when I'm not pissed, I don't care about myself.
Can I add on to it? People who don't just park sideways, that's a really good one. And yes, you're a piece of crap for doing that. Also, the people who like to park, you know, there's two lines, okay? And that creates the spot, okay?
Yeah.
Parking on the line or just about 6 inches over the line to where there's enough room to make it look like I could if I was driving a Fiat.
Yeah.
But if you got like a Cavalier or anything bigger, which a Cavalier is still pretty small.
Right.
I still can't get in the spot. You're a piece of crap too.
One day I'm going to lose it and I'm going to have like a Michael Douglas falling down point. And I'm just going to go to those people and I'm going to open my door as hard as I can because I drive a hail damaged vehicle. I have no concern over its detail or beauty. Yep. And I will smash their doors. And then I will just get out and walk by. And then I'm going to find a guy who's probably right across the parking lot who's covering, like, the one parking zone. And then I'm just going to take a rock and destroy his car.
Fair enough.
Because, I mean, to me, it's worth it because, yes, I will have to pay for it. But then you have to drive around like that for a while. And my insurance company is going
like to
make it really hard to pay for that.
Nobody on the queue is condoning violence towards other people's cars. So please don't do that.
I'll condone
Listen,
it.
No, we just, you, like, I'll condone, I condone yeah, it. I can't financially back you up. But if you said, listen, this guy did this and I smashed his car. And like, say you wrote that in and you were like, Dan, what should I do? I'm going to say, just bless you for being on this planet, and I want to know your mother's name.
I don't.
Because I want to send her flowers.
And if you're wearing a tube skirt, then
I don't.
Whoa.
I don't.
If she's wearing a tube skirt and you smashed her car, I'm going to kick your ass. That's pretty. It just automatically goes against it.
See, I just put my car right up next to their car door, and I will crawl because I don't care about my car, so I'll crawl over my seats to get out on the passenger side. But when I'll just sit there and watch, I'll sit there and wait for him to come up.
That's a great idea,
Andy Eckel. Time right. for you, sir. Game on.
Game on the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Oh, my goodness. The Johnny Knoxville-produced documentary, which is literally gold.
It is.
It is gold.
It is absolutely amazing.
It is gold.
Say.
And let me tell you something. If there were meth heads, they live there. And
yes,
that's
yes,
all
they do.
That can be said.
And you know what?
Point.
They don't make qualms about it.
They
He's
don't
like,
make qualms
goes,
about
hey,
it.
Hey, you know what the West Virginia mating call is? You know, shakes a bottle of pills. Hey, how you doing, Sherry?
He's, you know, like, he's telling serious.
And that's exactly how they sound, too. I mean, talking about people getting out of jail, going, I'll go right back in jail to kill that son of a bitch. That's what I was going to do. And that's the female that sounds like that.
Yeah. That's because they have to go back to West Virginia.
Yeah.
They don't know which
yeah,
one's
but apparently,
worse.
Apparently the whites of West Virginia are very well known. They're
their father,
very, very well known.
Their grandfather
family.
Was a famous clogger.
Yep.
Who eventually made a big name for himself nationally.
In the clogging yeah. community?
And, well, but,
no,
you know,
as
an artist.
Yeah, as an artist. Yeah.
As an artist, a success. He played picking the banjo as well as clogging and
I'll
dancing.
I'll tell you what,
like
man, as much as we hit on rednecks, I do like the banjo, ukulele, like all those little, I like those instruments.
Fair
I like
enough.
And,
instruments.
The, you know, and the mom, the matriarch of the family, she like any kid that needed help would go to her.
Yep.
Like just
it's a really
just,
good documentary.
Yeah, it's a very good documentary.
And you can find it on Netflix, right?
Do they? Do
I don't know if Netflix has it or not. I
search
it
up on Amazon. I'm sure you can find it on iTunes, Amazon, all the good places.
Do they do math on it?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think they do math.
They talk about it a lot.
But yeah. There's a
lot of old Trans Ams, a lot of old Pontiacs.
Do they go to her for troubles finding meth?
No.
The mom. If you get a chance, like
check it out.
The mom's legit.
I'm telling you, it's funny. The
cousins and the daughters and everything like that. They all smoke a lot of weed.
Produced by Johnny Knoxville. I think Spike Jonze was involved too. Yeah, good movie. Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. What's your game off?
Game off. Allow people to do what they need to do.
Okay.
As far as refusing service, get off this binge of, not allowing people to refuse service.
Okay.
The new bill that's coming into Missouri and people are all up in arms about it, about the right to refuse service. Now, it has always been my understanding that as a small business owner, you can refuse service to anyone for whatever reason you want. No, not if you're government funded.
Well, fair enough.
You can't refuse service. But apparently, this law is becoming popular because a photographer in Arizona said that he would not photograph a gay couple's wedding.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. I think it's their right to do that without any repercussions from anybody to say, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to let my service come on to, I'm not going to produce my service for you. All right.
Do we know where this comes from, though?
Arizona.
No. I'm saying, do we know where this idea of the right to refuse service at any time and then protecting those rights and being against those rights and all that comes from?
Well, apparently the bill is because people are now being able to sue those people. This couple is suing this photographer for saying he doesn't want to do their wedding because they're gay.
In the past, a lot of our country was developed around small towns. Within these small towns, there was literally only one place that was a bar. There was only one place that was a restaurant. There was only one place that was a supermarket. Yes. Where they had no choice but to go, or it was going to become an inconvenience of them.
Exactly.
So, therefore, they developed these rules and rights for businesses to have the ability to refuse service because, in certain cases, if you just randomly refuse service to anybody and it was the only place you could go to for like 100 miles, you were basically inconveniencing a person's life.
Yes.
And that becomes detrimental to living in this country.
Right.
Nowadays, though, since so many areas are populous in general, you don't have that problem as much. There's probably 1,000 other photographers that could do this wedding.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, my whole point is this. I think it's your right. Go ahead. You want to refuse service to someone for whatever your arbitrary reason is, be it they be black, white, purple, blue, green, I don't care, they're gay, whatever, they're a liberal, they're a conservative, you want to refuse service to that person. However, you're gonna have to deal with the repercussions and the boycotting of that service.
Fair enough, that's
my, I'm just saying, get off of it and let people refuse, let them refuse to do
it. It goes back to what we were saying before. Just because, I mean, it doesn't make it illegal just because it's right or indifferent doesn't change the legality of it. So, like, here's the thing: if a gay photographer refused service to a straight couple, it's the same thing. He refuses because he doesn't want to do it. So it's
right,
and it's not our right. Maybe we don't agree with his discrimination, but
should
it's
we
still his right to refuse that?
Right. So now, like, should we be able to go and sue him?
Yes, yeah, no, or no? That's
no,
it's
absolutely
his freedom
not.
Of speech,
and
it's
I believe that that's what that bill's coming up.
So, all right, guys,
and I like the gays. All right. But I'm still going to say it.
Well, I'm going to jump in, and it's now time for my game on, which I think, ladies and gentlemen, I have found the greatest television show in reality history of the last 10 years. I swear. Like, all week, I have gotten texts from Mark.
There was Road Rules, Real World Challenge, The Island, and now there is this, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Discovery Channel's new amazing piece of film. It's not even a reality show. It is a 6-part miniseries. Literally, it's not even a reality week-to-week TV show. It is a 6-part miniseries called The Clash of the Ozarks. Oh, my goodness.
No.
This is great. There is a town called Hardy, Arkansas. It's just below the Missouri line. Right, just like literally 25 miles over the Missouri border into Arkansas, okay? It is in the Ozark Mountains. It is a story about a Hatfields and McCoys style issue that is legit. That's where, like, there is a reality aspect to this, but this is a legit. This is legit. Like, the Russell clan versus the Evans clan. And it is this small town where basically These two families have been feuding because of a murder that happened almost 100 years ago at a town dance that's very popular. Every year they do this town dance called The Gathering, and there was a fight between these two families, and two or three people got killed. And it has stemmed from there since, just like the Hatfield and McCoys, it has just continued on through every single generation, and they are at the current generation. The most powerful man in town is a gentleman by the name of Kerry Wayne Evans. I want to make sure that I got that right. I think it's Kerry Wayne Evans.
That's very, very Arkansas.
He's got three names.
He is the money man of the town. He literally owns like 60% of the town. That's he's one of these money kind of guys. Like the other side of it is a gentleman. Are you ready for this? You're
going to
love this one, Dan. His name is Crowbar Russell.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
And he is the head of the other family in this. And they are the backwoods redneck family that is just, and they're all from this small town. They all grow up redneck and small town, but you have this progressive attitude versus this rudimentary attitude. And when I say, this guy, Crowbar Russell, has a guy, and I can't remember his name. It's like Tassel or Tussle or something like that. He lives on his land.
Talon.
He literally lives in a tent on this guy's land, and he never does anything but walk around creating traps, hunting squirrels to eat, fishing. That's it. That is his life. They go to him to talk to him.
This is awesome.
He protects their moonshine stills.
Yeah.
And he is one of these guys, like, if you were poaching or something and out in the middle of the woods, he's going to come up with the overalls but the one side down, and he's just got a machete, and it's just like, that dude showed up. We've got to go. Like, this.
Here comes Crowbar's boy. We got to get out of here.
It is out of control. I saw episode one of this, and it was amazing. I need everyone to go check out Clash of the Ozarks.
I have to here's my only issue with this. As far as you saying that it's Hatfield's McCoy, it is probably very Hatfield McCoyish. However, Hatfields and McCoy were two different states. The biggest thing with that is that that family, when they started coming to blows, is it almost created another civil war.
Right,
because
literally,
Virginia and Kentucky wanted to go to war.
You're taking it out. You're completely taking it out of context.
It does sound very interesting.
We're talking about the idea of two families that are feuding.
There's a guy named Crowbar in it.
That's true.
You mean this guy's a strong Crowbar? Is it Crowbar Joe?
I don't know. It's Crowbar Russell's his last name.
Crowbar Russell.
I'm telling you, man, this is great.
That is a world champion.
Listen,
is a wrestler.
They want, like, literally, he walked up on this one guy who was a part of the Evans family. He's like, so somebody went into my moonshine stills and destroyed a bunch of stuff, and I have a feeling it was Kerry Wayne, your dad, and them. And like, the dude just looked at him, was just like, get the F off my land. And then, like, they're constantly, like, you know how they're always talking about, like, oh, you know, reality TV show, Steadicam, you were talking about all this, like, setting it up and this, that. No, half of the TV show is literally like, you might want to stay in the truck. I got to go handle some situation over here. So
it's going
to
get crazy.
That is my game on Clash of the Ozarks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for us to get out of here. I'm going to reserve my game off for overtime. You have to literally go to theqnow.com, download the live show version of the podcast to get overtime. We're going to have Dr. Dan back in. Obviously, Andy's going to be here. I will give you my game off in overtime. But first, I want to thank a few people. First off, I want to thank 1420 WINI and 1280 AM KYRO for having our show on every single week. Thank you so much. I want to thank Andy Eckel for being here today.
Yep.
I appreciate you being here, sir. Dan Walsh, of course, as well as producer Bobby.
Yeah.
Don't forget, share the show. Tell people about it. Let everybody know. You know, it's a fun show. We try to do our best to entertain you every single week. These guys put in a lot of work. And if you want to advertise with us, hit us up on the contacts page at theqnow.com. Let us know that you're interested in advertising, and we'll work out something with you. Also, we are having some iTunes issues. I'm sorry. If you want to get the show downloaded to your system, you're going to have to go to theqnow.com. You're going to have to go to our episodes page to download the shows. We're working on that. We're trying to get that fixed, but that's where you need to go for that. Also, don't forget, you can check us out every single week on tapdetroit.com. Go to their respective schedule or schedule section of their website to find out when the Q is playing on tapdetroit.com. We were on Radio FUBAR. Unfortunately, we're having some issues with Radio FUBAR and our shows being put up there. So we'll let you know as soon as we get that all worked out. But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on the Q. That's all I can say. That's it. That's all there is to it. We will see you guys next time. It's time for overtime. We'll see you on the other side.
There's a madman with a mad plan, and he's dancing at your door. Oh, what to do? Ooh, what to do when the boss are built to crumble?
I still don't know what I'm doing.
Fuck! Trouble's coming for the free men. We shake them, shake them.
gentlemen, welcome to Overtime here on the Q. Mark Bland, along with Dan Walsh, producer Bobby, and our special guest today, Andy Eckel, who has decided to join us. We call him the Pervert King, and I only say that during the overtime because this man, he is this. We have Dr. Dan. Mm-hmm. Dr. Dan is a sexual beast, okay? But Andy Eckel is a messiah, a sexual messiah.
I am.
And he has documentation.
But I can tell you this. You can ask the girl that lives down from the shaved duck last night.
The shaved duck.
Yes. And actually,
this is the greatest story.
Is that really a fucking name?
Yeah, it is. It's a restaurant down in St. Louis on Virginia in some other really weird fucked up name street.
Okay.
But it's actually really good. It's a barbecue joint and it's very tiny, very small. Generally, you're going to have to wait about 20, 30, 40 minutes for a seat, but it's actually really good.
Like
anyway, so this broad lives right down the street from the shaved duck. And let's just say I had to flip a couple on her couch over because she done squirted on her couch.
Whoa!
Andy did some work to her shaved duck.
Yeah, oh, yes, I did.
Two things.
He took things to that meat wallet.
He did. Oh, yeah. Those beef curtains.
Was Andy here when we had the carpet burn? The carpet burn.
Andy was not here for carpet burn.
Okay, well,
that was Travis Cook, who was very much adamant that was okay.
And then also, if anybody wants to know the music,
he was here for the poop one.
He was here for the poop. Yeah, he was here for shit in a bag.
If anybody wants to know,
just us three.
He's here for shit bag.
I think it was just us.
We were just here for the rug burn.
It was just us three.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to know the music that we've been playing all show, it's AWOL Nation. You can check them out on the YouTubes, the Vivo,
all of it.
AWOL Nation.
All over the interwebs.
Very, very good band. Very good band.
All right. Well, I got some. First off, let me finish off my game off because I teased the game off, and I'm not going to get too deep into this one. I think that I kind of rattle about this quite often, but it really kind of caught me by. I got a few emails this past week with people basically going out of their way to just say some extremely, like, nonchalantly rude things.
Okay.
And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you're sending somebody an email or a private message, okay, I hate when you do it in public. I hate it even more when you do it private message or through an email. Passive aggressiveness. Game off passive aggressiveness. We've become the society where we're just unwilling to say what's on our mind. Yeah. So we beat around the bush or we allow somebody really angry about something and we to their face, we don't say nothing.
Yo.
But then we just walk off and we get really all angry over here off to the side about it. And then we say things to other people and it gets stop that. Okay. We're not in this society where like you can't talk to somebody else. Not everything's going to turn into a firefight.
No, but let me ask you a question. How much of this passive aggressiveness do you think's come because of how politically correct this country has become?
I don't think that it really has anything to do with that. I think people just shy away from engaging each other anymore. I think that they live behind their computer screens. I think that they don't care more about like other people. And so their computer screen protects them in multiple ways.
So was Jayco's comment a passive-aggressive remark about bikers?
No, I think his was just a direct remark. That's why it was so controversial to say that. Like, it was a direct remark. Like, I think that what Jayco was doing, and I'm not going to, like, try to salt it out or anything like that or gloss it, but I think that he was trying to crack a joke. He was trying to crack a joke on a stereotype that is prevalent and has existed for many years,
right.
And it wasn't necessarily taken in the right context.
No, it was definitely taken in the wrong context.
So I don't think that he was literally going, hey, everybody who's a motorcycle rider is just this meth head. I don't think that was his purpose. Because if he wanted to say that, he has many other... is a man who writes journalism professionally, okay? He formulates whole essays about his opinion. If he wanted to, like... hit people with some real knowledge on something like that and attack them with the whole direct shot on meth heads that are motorcyclists and all that, I think he could have formulated in a really well written out like essay or some type of an opinion piece for the
all
paper
right.
Like I don't
fair
think
enough. Fair enough. Well, right. Yeah, all right, fine.
So passive aggressiveness, everybody off of that.
Yes.
Stop it. Just stop. Don't come into Dan's work all passive aggressive. Because, you know, you didn't get all your sets in like you wanted to at the gym. So you're just kind of like throwing attitude at him.
Bro.
And all he wants to do is sell you some stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Just want to get you that protein.
You know what? Hey, I got one more game off, and this actually stems from the TV show that
game
we were talking
about. Game off the Q and Mark Bland.
No, fuck
you guys.
No, that's that. Well, that wouldn't be passive aggressive anyway. That'd be straight
that'd
dick
be,
to your face. No, how about game calling people dogs?
Okay, like the nickname? Like, yeah. Yo Dog?
Yeah. Like, if you watch a certain television show that comes on The Devil's Ride, it's heard by one individual I know in particular.
But
constantly. Dude, I counted like 20 times in a 5 second. Yeah, bro, dog. But here's the thing, dog. Here's the thing, dog.
Hey, yo, that's really? That's a regional thing, though. That's a...
Whatever.
That's a Randy Jackson thing.
I mean, in that LA and San Diego, and Dan, you can quit. You were out there for comedy for many months on end. You know what I'm saying? This whole, yeah, bro, yo, bro, hey, bro. You know that is very prevalent. Or brother, calling people brother.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about brother. I said dog.
You said dog.
But you did say dog.
I said dog, and constantly saying like constantly saying like is like really. Like, really just horrible. Like,
you're going to make me like, want to kill you like.
Exactly. And then, dude, constantly say, dude.
Wait, dude, I got a game off, one more game off then.
Oh, my God. This is a game off master.
Hold on. This shit is hilarious. If I can get a little pot up real quick. Game off, morons getting the ability to use 911. Check this shit out.
Yeah.
Can you please call 911 with the address of the emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm at the Village Inn.
Okay. What's going on there?
This. I guess he work here or whatever. They gave me some raw waffles, and I told him I don't want the waffles.
Raw
and he
waffles?
Taking off my bill. He said, "Oh, I can't take nothing off your bill, ma'am. But you sold me something that was uncooked. I'm already paying for the whole waffle that was already uncooked. You want me to pay for the half a waffle too that ain't uncooked?" No, he's talking, oh, well, I called the police. You've been drinking alcohol. Well, come on, bring me a breathalyzer and everything. I am ready.
Okay.
I told him I would call the police for him. Come on. Come on, man.
All right, I'll go ahead and send an officer out to help you all sort this out, okay? But just so you know, it's going to be a civil matter between you and the business, but we can definitely come out there to dispute, okay?
You say it's a civil matter between you and the business, but they can do their best. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. We'll get someone out there.
Well, there it is.
That is awesome. Game off these morons, okay?
Who used the police for
stupid things? Who used 911? There's a dude about a year ago who fucking was pissed off because he ordered a cheeseburger and they didn't give him his cheeseburger.
So every time you guys do a story about how the police beat somebody to death and you're like, this is just an unlawful use of power, just remember that they have to
just
deal with
play
this
that clip
night after night. So maybe that guy just caught a backlashing from a lot of these
very
calls.
Possible. Very possible.
If I heard this every night, I think I'd accidentally beat someone to death for no reason.
I think that you're within your rights. Okay, fair enough on that game off.
Yes.
All right, I like it. All right.
Let's get to him.
Let's do it. It's time for some advice. Ladies and gentlemen, I used to do advice columns. I used to go to Savage Love. I would read the Savage Love stuff and give my own personal advice.
Yeah.
People started to like it, so they decided to start sending us stuff. And therefore, if you go to theqnow.com, theqnow.com, click the contact us page, you can email us directly any story or any idea that you want to present to us for the show. And I get a lot of them every week, questions as well as stuff. I got some good questions this week too, but
yeah, Savage Love just don't have anything on Dan and I.
Let's see what Dr. Dan and Dr. Andy have to say this time. Mark, I heard the story from a few weeks back about the virginity situation, the neighbor yelling the guy's name. So I wanted to pass along my own story to hear what you think I should do. The other day, I was finally set to lose my virginity. Me and my girlfriend have been dating for about 6 months. We have never done anything but kiss and an occasional boob grab. We were hanging out in my room when my girlfriend pushed me onto the bed and pulled off my underwear. She then made a face as if she had just sucked on a lemon, got up, and left without a word. I was completely confused and tried to chase her down. She refused to hear me talk. She refused to hear me or talk to me at all. Just got in her car and left without looking at me. I haven't heard from her since. What should I do?
He shit his pants.
No. I'm going to go with Dan. You take this one first.
He should stop peeing in her mouth whenever she goes to give him oral sex.
That is... No,
they never did oral sex.
No, remember, she just pulled the pants down, looked at his junk, and was like, no, I'm out.
Deuces.
Done.
Just because it was your first time, buddy, I don't think it's hers. That or you're Samoan, and it is her first time, and you scared the crap out of her.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, she said it looked like a lemon. She sucked on a lemon like it was horrible.
But that could have been a lot of stuff.
Screw her. Go find another girl.
Well, yeah, exactly. Go find another girl, one. But I got to ask a question, dude. I really hope you send an email in with the answer to this. When you pee standing up, are you like a finger man? Are you like a tweezer man? Or are you like a whole hand man? Because I got to imagine that, you know, if the twig and giggle bear down there, brother, ain't much. You're gonna have to pay a whore.
Giggity.
Yeah, I mean, like, if this is her first time and she's looking at your package and that ain't big enough for her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, hey, that bitch is fucked up.
It's real simple. You know,
internet porn has ruined our society.
It has.
There is a Facebook meme going around, and it says, how to ruin a guy's ego. Girl says, is it in yet? How to ruin a woman's ego? The guy says, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what you say to her if she comes back. Actually, you give her the lemon face. And yeah. Then you're like, wow, I always wondered what it's like to throw a hot dog down a donut, you fucking slut.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. I went
too far. That's some ring.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
No, but it is kind of. Retract that. You know, here's the thing.
Retract.
That was very bad.
Cut snip. So apparently, okay, if they've been dating for 6 months and she's the one who took charge and she threw him on the bed and ripped off his pants like that, obviously it's not her first time.
I'm thinking she's a seasoned vet, brother.
She's
seen some winkies and yours is just not matching up.
Yeah, nobody. Nope. If anything, if she knows that she's got to do that first time and it's going to be painful for him anyways, and she gives you the look like. Either you're huge or you're so tiny that even she knows, you know what? I would rather be hurt than put this thing in. Cause
I would rather crash a car at high speeds driving away from your house.
Or maybe he has a massive dick, dude. And like, hey,
it's very possible.
Yeah, we're probably looking at this the wrong way.
That's very possible.
Would most guys, I mean,
I've
talked to a lot of girls.
I've heard
from a lot of women in just general conversation about sexual talk. They don't have a problem with size. Like, they like size.
Actually,
size is fine for them.
I did learn something this past week that a female vagina is actually 4 inches long, and that if a man is larger than 4 inches, it is elastic and it will expand. So you could be good up to 8 inches, bro.
Yeah.
But not with the one
that you're using, okay?
Her vagina's like elasticity in underwear bands.
Why didn't you explain to her that you have a 1-inch stick of dynamite with a huge bang?
You should have told her that you're
a... Sometimes it's not always that good because I have bottomed out on a girl who had an IED in and I knocked it loose.
Oh, my gosh. What the...
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Bottom out on an IED. Okay, we're moving on.
An IED, an improvised...
Just tell her that the
birth control thing. I think they're maybe
just,
it's an IED.
Just tell her you're a grower, not a shower.
Exactly. Hey, man, it might look like a Koopa Trooper now, but
Dr. Andy, I need your attention. I need to know how you guys think I should handle a family member regarding a secret.
Okay.
Basically, I recently decided it was time to tell my daughter that she had been adopted. Early in me and my wife's marriage, we were having a ton of difficulty getting pregnant and thought we couldn't have children. So we adopted Sarah. Well, when the big moment happens, not only had she known for 5 years, she found out from my drunk sister. So my daughter found this out when she was 12. She never said a single thing to us, and I am furious at my sister for this. My goodness, how should I approach this and bring it to my sister's attention that she is a horrible person? My daughter is also upset that it took this long, so it makes my sister seem like she was being a great aunt by spilling the info. How do I handle her?
Okay.
So this is double sword.
It is. First of all, your sister, okay, your sister's not necessarily a horrible person. She made a mistake.
Okay, fair all enough. Right? I respect that.
Get off of her on that. Your daughter being upset that it took you this long after she found out, kind of, it's a 50-50 blame. Because she could have very easily came up and said, hey, am I adopted?
Nah, I wouldn't go that far, dude. That's a tough one.
Okay.
That's a tough argument.
I get.
You're 12 years old, you find this out, you think your parents don't love you. Like you think that you
Here's the problem, though. Who took care of you? Who in all of your life...
But when you're 12, you don't know that.
But who took... Yeah, you do. You know who took care of you up until, you know, every memory that you have.
I'm just saying, like, at 12 years old, the way that you process things over that 4 or 5 months as you deal with it for the first time, not telling anyone, is a lot different than the way you would process and handle it at the age of 20.
Well,
it
very
just
true.
Is a lot
very
different.
True. But here's the thing, too. The girl was about ready to enter her teenage years, so she's going to be a little bit rebellious anyway. So,
yeah, which probably didn't help.
No, it probably didn't. And now that she's 17, she's probably just hurt because she has known so for so long. And just tell her, we didn't know how to tell you or when to tell you. We've never done this before. You know, obviously you're the only child that we adopted, and we love you just as much as anybody else, but we just didn't know how to tell you. It's very simple. All right. And then as far as your sister goes, just tell her. Be like, look, bitch, next time it's not your fucking place to tell my daughter who's adopted and who's not.
All right, that's good advice.
Yeah.
We're going to move on. This one's for Dan.
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting a lot of Dans. Dan, I heard your story about the neighbors in your apartment complex being afraid of you, so I wanted to hear what you think I should do regarding this situation. I got home late from work on Monday, so I decided to make myself a microwave meal. I pierced the plastic film several times on the dinner. I guess it was a little too loud for my hateful douche of an uppity neighbor because he called the cops on me, claiming he heard gunshots from my apartment. I spent 20 minutes letting the police go through my single-bedroom apartment and lecturing me on the safety of firearm home. I am pissed and was wondering if there was any way you could think of for me to get back at him for doing this.
First off...
What? But first off, hold on. What I like meals? What meals are you poking with a knife that are so loud it sounds like an explosion?
Did you shoot three holes into your meal?
Dan's face that looked like he saw a lemon or just
no. Dan's face is, I've been contemplating this shit for a long fucking time. Man, let me tell you.
It's the thing about it is you have an uppity, like, not all my neighbors think I'm nuts.
Right.
It's just one. Like, my other neighbors think I'm pretty cool. But, right. Dude, don't get back at him because all it's going to do is fuel the fire. I had my last neighbor down, like he was a floor down and he was across the hall. Okay. And then I had the neighbors who live in the one apartment where the lady lives now and thinks I'm nuts.
Right.
They had that same situation going on. And so they would purposely do things to piss him off and he would call the police and it would just get worse and worse and worse. It finally came to a climax whenever the guy was outside smoking a cigarette. And the dude from the floor above him walked out and just pissed on him.
Wow.
Nice.
No.
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and like they it. Were evicted about a week and a half later.
Me and my wife had neighbors.
I would say leave it alone.
Me and my wife had a neighbor who lived above us, a nice guy, very nice guy, car salesman, lived by himself. But let me tell you something. He was one of these workout nut kind of guys. We swear to God, to this day, he had to, like literally, we lived under him for like 3.5 years. He had to have literally just, like, got home, picked up 20-pound dumbbells, did some curls, and just would drop them randomly throughout the night on the floor. Like, it'd be in the hallway. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm just, like, sitting there going, what is he? Like, these were drop sounds.
Yeah.
And it was, like, 40 or 50 times a night.
That's probably what he was doing.
It's ridiculous.
How about the neighbors above me at J Mark Court?
Oh, my goodness. We've got some stories. Listen,
oh, yeah.
Dan and Andy are inside watching Raw. This is probably, what, 2005?
Yeah, 2004 or 5.
Something like that. We're watching Raw. We have the TV turned up all the way, right? I know you got some stories. Hold on. We got the TV turned up all the way, and of course, you got the explosions. I think this is when Vince McMahon was going through his situation with Bobby Lashley, and they were going to, you know, shave Donald Trump's head and all that.
Yeah.
And it was just really... Now, Andy was in a different place back then mentally. He had a rat that he would try to shoot with a pellet gun while we were watching TV inside the house.
What was his name? We named him.
Horace or Hormander?
Named him off one of the Unsolved Mysteries of the Ghost.
So anyway, we hear some yelling. Now, we would hear yelling all the fucking time. We decided this one night it was getting pretty loud, and it was right outside. We step outside of his apartment, and there's two different, like, step sections to go up to the upper levels, and these apartments are on the second story, but they're split, like there's no way to connect them. These steps lead to these four. They have their own like little like walkways. We step out and we can see between the two of them, this guy's got an airsoft gun pointed at this guy over here, and they are screaming at each other how they're going to shoot each other.
Yeah,
swear to God. And me and Andy are just sitting there like, what the is
did they
going
both
on.
Have airsoft guns?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Plus, I mean, not only that, the dude above me, he had his girlfriend that he would constantly beat on and everything. I mean, there was more than one time that we looked out and the cops were there.
Oh yeah, it was. Wow. Oh, dude, we would hear screams and like blood and cries.
Yep.
And we're just like,
you just want to watch some wrestling.
Yeah, we
dude.
Just want to watch some wrestling.
And it wasn't only wrestling. Yeah, after wrestling, we'd watch a movie or we'd watch some silly shit on TV. But 3 o'clock in the morning, it sounds like this dude's running a marathon upstairs, and it's literally.
And I mean, it's
you
a,
walk
it's,
in the door,
you could literally follow with your finger on his roof the trail.
Yeah.
Like that was going on. It was like imagine like a 5-year-old just has his like figure eight that he constantly runs like. Jump up on the couch, gonna go over here, jump down, but run in a circle, like, and we could just go like just watch the figure eight with our finger.
Wow. And this whole apartment is you walk in, it's a kitchen, dining room, bedroom,
they're almost like studios. They're almost like studios. They're almost like
that's
studio.
All it is. I mean, it's not big enough to run in.
Well, Megan and I, my wife and I, we just, you know, this is our first apartment that we've been in, and we're sitting there, and you know, about a month after we've moved in. all of a sudden these new people moving upstairs. It sounds like a fucking horde of elephants running around upstairs. We had these tornadoes 5 or 6 months back. Well, the guys that lived in that apartment has a daughter, and she was afraid. So he comes downstairs and knocked on the door and asked my wife. I was at work. My wife calls me first, and she's like, hey, somebody's knocking at the door. Okay, I'm on the phone. Answer the door. See who it is. And she goes, it's the guy from upstairs. Hold on. So she sets the phone down and goes, hey, look, my daughter's scared. Do you mind if we come downstairs and stay with you guys until, you know, everything's okay? And, you know, my wife's like, yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, sure, go ahead and come in. Megan goes, I'll call you if I need anything. So while he's down there, his two buddies that live with him are still upstairs. They are doing whatever the fuck they want to do, and he hears the sound, and he's like, holy shit, is that what we sound like? And my wife's like, yeah, and I have two daughters, and they're trying to sleep and stuff. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I work a late job. I come home. These two dumbasses want to play soccer and stuff in our living room, and we don't even think anything about it. And he's like, we'll never do it again, I promise you. For the rest of the 9 months that we were at that apartment, it was, you could have heard a pin drop.
Good. That's good. That just shows that there are decent people out there.
Yeah.
They just need to be their eyes open.
Yeah, they don't know. Well, not everybody, but yeah.
Now I live on the second floor. My kids start running around. I'm like, Bobby starts playing
soccer and shit up there.
He starts
belly flopping the fucking the floor.
You should be the neighbor that goes downstairs, knocks on their door, and asks for like cups of sugar, like a couple of eggs. But do it every week.
Bobby, you should go downstairs to your neighbor every week and be like, hey, listen. Actually, do it every day. Be like, hey, there's tornadoes coming, and my daughter's scared. And then just watch their cable. And then they're going to be like, hey, it's like 78 degrees and it's summer. And you'd be like, yeah, she's a little overactive with this. But, you know, she's a child. I don't know. So you guys got movie channels or what?
What's the deal?
What's going on here?
Like, become friends with them. All right.
You know, on Mondays we watch Raw.
Yeah, we watch Raw.
All right, it's time for some quick questions. And we're just going to run these through real quick. We're going to go around table like we normally do. Dan Walsh, what does America do best? What does America do best?
Ooh, if you don't have this, I have a great answer.
Nah, you know what, America, I mean, there's always that cynical where I could be like, oh, talk without knowing what the hell they're talking about. But entertainment.
Okay,
I really do think that we are...
We are definitely Hollywood is more Hollywood than anyone else ever
was. I mean, even Dollywood or Bollywood or whatever that's compared to it is not even close as far as, A, the quality, and B, the amount of money that they bring in. They're still like, you know, like $11 million or something short from like a blockbuster of like Hollywood standards. I think our export of entertainment is a lot more than what we import nowadays, and I'm pretty proud of that.
That's
except
cool.
Except for the Ukrainian stripper that was on Britain's Got Talent or whatever, Europe's Got Talent, or one of those Something's Got Talent shows, and this broad was doing her little striptease on a pole. I was amazed.
No, don't get me wrong. They have amazing talent, and I'm not saying that they don't
there's
have...
there's always going to be one stripper.
I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. But
there's always one stripper.
Dude,
there's always
one. Just look at the majority of the world's celebrities that are known worldwide. They're American-made, and so think maybe as much as you shit, like people shit on our culture... It is a breeding ground for something, and that's artistic expression. So
they always eventually come here to get famous.
Well, yeah, because we're shallow as fuck, and we will make money off of
you. What about you,
so
Bobby? What does America do best?
Pussification.
Okay.
I agree.
Absolutely.
All right. What about you, Andy?
Get involved in other people's shit.
All right.
Yes, we are.
I say being passive aggressive. All right, we're moving on. Next question.
This word, I don't think it means what you think it means.
Mark, you have just won a free life-size cardboard cutout of the person of your choosing. Who is it? I'm going to say
me.
I could have any cardboard, like life-size cardboard cutout. Damn.
Me.
Gosh, I know what Andy's going to say. He's going to pick his favorite porno actress.
I was going to, and not no more.
Now I got to fucking change that answer.
Ruined it.
I'm just trying to think of like who I would look like. I would think would be really awesome to have like a cardboard cutout of
Barack Obama. Fucking easy.
Yep.
What about you, Dan?
Mine, Morgan Freeman.
Because
me feel really comfortable and relaxed.
For me, Morton Downey Jr. What about you?
I would have two: Aaron Rodgers, and the other dude that I have a man crush on would be AJ Styles.
Okay, fair enough. What about you, Andy?
Hard. I'm gonna have to go with the original answer, Sunny Lane.
All right, fair enough.
She is nice.
I just wouldn't get any peace if I was constantly jerking off to my cardboard cutout.
Faye Reagan. All right, Sunny Lane's beautiful, but I gotta go with the redhead, so I gotta go with Faye.
We're having show and tell, Mark. What do you bring to the party? Show and tell. I'm going to bring. Let's see here. What do I bring to a party of
my
show and tell?
Penis.
Well, that might be a little underwhelming, actually.
I bring copies of all of my passive-aggressive posts on Facebook, and I make everybody
I'm going to show and then tell you about it.
I'm not going to mention that. Never mind.
I bring a DVD copy of Clash of the Ozarks. Yes.
That's great.
Crowbar Russell is getting shown to some people.
Crowbar Russell's getting introduced to my friends.
All right, what about you, Dan? Show and tell.
Show and tell. I'd bring my amazing belly roll.
Okay, your
Have
amazing
you seen
belly.
My belly? Oh, I'm going to show you. Let's see. I taught my niece this. She's four, and she's getting it down.
Oh, there it is.
You got to see when she does it, because we were talking about potty training, and like when she does it, she's at the verge of shitting her pants. Like you can tell that or passing out from trying to hold. But she's real close to figuring it out. So we're gonna get her on Letterman.
Wait,
when
is
she
figuring out the shitting or the belly roll?
She looks at me do the belly roll.
I gotta get a video of the amazing belly roll of Dan Walsh. Go ahead, look at that. There it is. We'll pat live on the blog. Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, it's just disgusting.
That is super sweet. Love it.
Got the belly roll going on in front of my niece, and then she's always thought it was awesome, so she just tries to imitate it, and she's getting really close.
Let me try.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, hold on. We got to get the video of Bobby.
Bobby's just air humping, but
Bobby's humping the mic. Ready? Bobby, here we go.
Bobby's channeling Keith Sweat right now.
Bobby is trying to challenge Dan for the belly roll competition.
I don't see nothing wrong. Oh, yeah. With the little
What's awkward grind. Is I'm moving my whole body.
I was going to say, I don't remember using my calves for my belly roll. But
all righty, what about you?
Well, Mark, you know what I bring to show and tell because you've already seen it.
All right, fair enough. What about you?
That's weird.
No, we talked about it.
Actually, honestly, I would bring a picture of my family.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's cool.
That's so cheese dick. Are you kidding me?
No, my God.
To my family.
All right, last question.
I'd bring a picture of my family.
All right,
last question. That took me 9 hours.
I would bring an audio clip of pissing Dan Walsh off.
That's good shit.
Dan Walsh, what food or snack are you currently addicted to? What is the thing right now that's your go-to?
Oh man, there's a couple of them, but I would say right now the new hand-tossed pizza from the Hut of Pizza.
Okay.
With the garlic sauce. And I usually try to be a clean eater, and it's killing me. I ate one in the car on the way over here.
Nice. Whole pizza.
I totally did like the depressed eat pizza and drive, but it's so good. And
you have cats. Did you pet your cats while you were eating the pizza?
No, because she puts her face in all my food, so I eat that shit before I get home because she's going to try and get
Dan's
in on it.
Dan's just sitting there eating the pizza.
No, man.
You can't let the pussy take over.
You got to get that pussy tame. But
that's what I'm saying.
It's so good that when I eat it, I don't even give a shit that there's my face. I just keep going. You know when they're that good?
You don't even mind if it drips.
That I've got glisten on my face of just sheer grease and sauce, and I don't fucking care. And I will go talk to people in public because it's so good.
And the best part is, he said he did it in a depressive state. I could just see Dan eating it, just going, I did my best.
Well, what I did is
I did my just fucking best. I'm a dirty boy, mommy.
I ate the pizza while listening to Tori Amos. Just saying, and I was like, I hate men and commercialism. Some shot and
it's better than listening to Jar Hearts.
Bobby, what are you addicted to right now?
Better than listening to Jar Hearts. Starburst, Sour Patch Kids. Do we have time to keep going?
No, stop.
Cholesterol. Sodium. Life.
Egg rolls.
All right.
Chicken lo mein.
Okay, fair
enough. Chicken St. Paul.
I was looking for something a little more unique than those, but all right, fair enough. That's your snack. That's your food of choice.
Actually, one thing I am addicted to is Naked Juice.
Naked Juice?
Yeah. That shit is amazing.
Yogurt-based protein
shake? No, not yogurt. Fuck you, Dan Walsh.
Yogurt-based.
It's the nutritionist fruit juice that is just fucking delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one fucking thing that I do right in my life, Dan.
Dan's got such a smirk on his face.
How long does it take you to drink a bottle?
10 hours.
He's like, it's delicious. I got my first bottle 9 months ago, and I'm fucking almost done with it. And it's just that there hasn't been a bad day with it.
Look, one fucking time, I tried to enjoy my food because it takes 20 minutes.
Bobby, I'm looking at you. There's been many occasions when you fucking enjoyed your food. Who are you kidding, okay?
All right, fair enough. Andy Echo, what are you enjoying right now?
Sushi.
Sushi.
Or spicy crab rangoon from West of Hunan.
Oh, okay. Spicy it's crab rangoon.
Oh, it's the bomb, I would say it like, gets me hard.
Right now, the
rolls damn, get you hard.
No, I don't have...
Spicy crab rangoon gets me hard.
Oh, crab rangoon.
I don't have something that I'm on right now specifically, but I do have something about 3 or 4 months ago. Quiznos had a sandwich with a chipotle sauce on it, and I was fucking in. And you know who else had some shit, too, that I loved?
Uh-huh.
I don't even like... I like boneless... Boneless wings. When I get bone, I always get boneless. I can't help myself but deliciously eat the Parmesan wings from Little Caesars because it's bone-in wings. It's bone-in, but I don't care because the sauce is so delicious. That's it. That's the other thing within the last few months that I was on top of.
Sounds good.
So,
you know what else is really good? A really good food.
What's that?
Caramel cheesecake from Hooters.
Fuck you! Ooh. God damn it! That sounds so fucking
delivered by a Hooter.
Yeah, maybe one day you can muster up enough energy to enjoy that, Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby, I suggest you don't go to the restaurant.
On that note,
I know how hard it is for you to enjoy food.
It's time for us to get out of here on Overtime. I appreciate every single person being here. Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby and Andy Echo, thank you so much for joining us today on Overtime. That does it. Check out theqnow.com for old episodes, new episodes, and everything else in between. We will see you guys next time on the show. 4, 5, 6, control you all my tricks. 3, 5, 4, more giants at the door. Amazement.